is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show. 1800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia. 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Seems to be the idea.
Hey, baby. You got girlfriend, Vietnam? Not just this minute. Me love you long time.
But I'll decide this one.
You party? How much? $15?
$15 for both of us.
No, it's you $15. Me love you long time.
If this is true, you have my sympathy.
$15 to Buku. $5 each. Me sucky, sucky. Me love you too much. $5 is all my mom allows me to spend. Okay, $10 each.
Maybe I'm not so inclined.
What do we get for $10? Everything you want. Everything, everything.
You keep playing.
Well, old buddy.
Playing.
Feel like spending some of your hard-earned money?
Let me ask you guys a question. Have you noticed that, Larry is acting just a little melancholy lately?
I have not. Larry who?
Yeah, well, that's probably because you don't get the quality time with Larry that I do.
Yeah. Mm,
you mean those moments during the commercial when he leans over and asks, is anything hanging out of his nose?
Hey, Phil. Phil? Remember, you can't spell smartass without A-S-S. Okay?
Yeah, hello, Rob. It's Dick Van Patten. I get back next Saturday night. So I see you'll be here Sunday, the 19th, I guess, right? The 20th. So I guess I could see you today, guys, then, on the 20th. Because I have to leave again on Monday. Okay, let me know how we can work this out. I go back to Salt Lake City tomorrow. But I'll be home today. Bye-bye now.
Be. Don't you have something to do?
Anyone can share VD.
I wouldn't make it a habit.
Someone
I thought that's what it was.
VD is for everybody.
We ain't going in looking guilty.
Rob the mailman.
If you're curious or confused, get information or a pamphlet at most pharmacies or a health clinic. If you need help, see a doctor.
This is Robert the mailman.
A dumbass amateur.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gays and lesbians, transvestites and transsexuals, it's time for everyone's favorite radio program. The Westwood One Radio Network presents The Don and Mike Show, starring grizzled radio veteran, the captain of the ship, Don Geronimo.
Hey, fans, how you doing?
And restaurateur deluxe, the man of several dozen voices, Mike O'Mara.
Oh, say, can you see, Jack? By the dawn's early light.
What's so proud?
With news someone can use and insightful comments from sexy, sexy Buzz Burbank.
Buzz, what is it with you and women?
I like them.
And everyone's favorite white power producer, the Aryan Simeon, Rob Spiewak. Plus, the man who's always asleep at the switch, Joe Ardinger.
Hey, wake up and go to sleep.
Yay!
And a man who offers both technical and athletic support, Johnny Norman. So sit back, relax, and mentally and physically prepare yourself for the hilarity that is about to ensue. This is the Don and Mike Show!
Thank you.
that his music or our music?
I think that this is a... didn't we already decide that this is a musical version of Amos Moses by Jerry Reed?
Karaoke. And this is from the opening?
Yep.
The guy that sent this in did this?
Yes, right. He did. Here's music. The lip, if you will.
Yeah.
To start the show, thank you. And that guy's name is Tim Goodrich.
Good job, Tim.
Thank you, good one. And now that the lip is there, and your phone is down, your brand new phone.
Yeah, I was just going to make sure that it's turned off. Let me take care of that right now.
Please silence your speakers and cell phones.
Thank you.
There you go. One button, right, Mike? Click and win.
Phone off. Have you
turned the phone off yet? Mike?
What?
Have you turned your telephone off?
I turned it on vibrate. I always like to have it on. I can't turn it off because you're never going to know when a very important call may come in.
Look around, cafe.
And that's... Yeah, they're not all about that.
Stay on for God's sake. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Mel Gibson hates this guy. Let me just say that.
You know him.
Hi! It's me, Super Dude.
Right. Bruce Springsteen right here. Hello, everybody.
Hello!
Hello to you.
Hello!
Hi there, Born to Run.
Hello!
Classic rock. From Classic Rockville.
Yeah, baby!
We really should thank our listeners. Those show opens are exactly what we wanted to get the show rolling. I mean, look at that. It's 5 minutes after.
Bravo!
And the goddamn show is actually on the air. Right, Joe?
Come on, let's suck a bear.
Stop.
Right, well.
He's mentally retarded.
Yeah. That's on. For being a guy who sucks so bad at his job, he sure does get a lot of build-up, doesn't he?
Well, he deserves every bit of it.
Did you ever hear of Kong?
Kong! The eighth wonder of the world!
All right, let's bring him in.
He's mentally retarded.
What a build-up.
How you be?
Are you entertaining questions?
How's your Hall of Fame game?
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Totally fulfilled, man.
Yeah. And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Voyage to New York and all the ships at sea. They have never been raped by sex perverts. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I disagree.
Oh?
Yeah. I am.
And he's in the next room.
Was it consensual?
He did that to you?
I thought you
that
wanted
that bastard did that to you? I thought you knew, Mike.
I didn't know.
You're such a tease.
How could you, bud?
You can tell by the smell. This is the Don and Mike Show. And it's a new episode, everybody, on this Monday. Monday. 08-07-06.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Hi, Buzz.
He's a local boy. He's terrific. He's our new leader. He's like too what?
They're like too much what?
One of the truly great swingers of all time.
Right. He's the other one who's got 8,000 different tapes for himself as well. Don and Mike Show. That's the name of the show. Here's your phone number from anywhere in America or from Canada. 877-365-3636.
Hi! It's me, Super
Juice. That's her, Mel. Not the one that we saw, the other one.
Hi, Mel.
We support one famous Mel.
We do.
The other Mel, we're on the fence on.
The good Mel.
We're on the fence with Gibson.
We like the good Mel.
Carmazin. There, we've said it.
It's out there for all to hear.
But only to make tongues wag.
Listen,
Don and Mike Show, right here. We're on the air. So how about that? And you can call us, isn't that something? 877. I'll be goddamn. 877-365-3636. And live. You can hear us on the internet. Go to our website, DonandMikeWebsite.com. Click on Listen Live. Go right there. You can send us email at any time when the show's not on, but right now you can shoot us an email at DonandMikeWebsite.com. Our man Yanni. There he is. In the back room. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hello. Louder, John.
Hello.
Hello, John. He's back there tossing up your emails and throwing them away.
Right.
Let me see. We also have the daily segments for you to download on our website.
Right.
And I think the iTunes debacle has been solved.
Solved.
So just go to iTunes and put in our show and get a pass.
Subscribe.
Thank you, Buzz. And name of that tune, Jackson. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Red B Braves. Start the week with an on-screen call, and that's what you get. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yes, hello.
How you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Bruce Springsteen is not Jewish.
That's right. I remember hearing that. He's not Jewish.
Well, he should be. He's got the name.
Bruce Stein would be Jewish.
Or Springberg.
What is he?
I think he's Catholic, but I know he's not Jewish. I'm from New Jersey originally.
Or Springman. Or just Spring. Who knows?
Or just Stein.
Uh-huh. Right, Stein. Bruce Stein.
Bruce Steen.
Bruce Steen.
You know.
You dropped your stool.
Did that just happen?
Yeah.
Just fall over?
I just kicked my stool.
You tripped over a stool.
In anger. Yeah. In anger.
Oh.
As you've seen animals do sometimes on the National Geographic Channel. Yeah.
It's really not appropriate on the very first call of the show to correct us, whether we're wrong or not.
Mike, for God's sakes, Rob, why didn't you stop me, boy? You've got the list.
I always err.
You knew that, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. But I err on the side of caution.
Mm-hmm. What kind of caution?
Well, if there's even
correcting
a sliver
your
of
boss?
Doubt. If there's even a sliver of doubt.
It's correcting your boss passion. Is that the caution? Is that what it is?
It was a foolish.
Why didn't you jump in and tell him that?
It was foolish. I thought Bruce Springsteen, please. I've thought my whole life the guy's a Jew.
Now, if he was Bruce Springwitz, then we'd have something.
Oh, stop it. So he's not Jewish?
No.
All right. Okay. We learn something every day on this show. We have already fulfilled the educational quota portion of our program today. Now, you know what we can do? We can entertain. We can entertain for the rest of the day.
Here we can go. All right, so Mel Gibson does like Bruce Springsteen.
He must.
Take care.
Thank you.
See, that's all he cared about.
That's right.
Was correcting.
Take care. That's okay. Right. Those, Mike.
I don't accept that.
That one, I'm not upset about. That was a big faux pas.
Well, you made the mistake, and I didn't, and I'm still mad.
That was a big faux pas.
Right.
You know who I blame?
Kong! The eighth wonder of the world!
You know what? He could have been helpful.
Maybe he's a little Jewish.
Like you.
Yeah, precisely. Could have a contest.
Let's see who's more Jewish.
Or less.
You were Bruce Springsteen?
Yeah.
No,
I
think you'd win that.
You think?
Yeah, I
so,
do.
Listen, we weren't here Friday. Thank you very much for listening and allowing us the day off. We were up in New York with the suits, and things seemed to be going okay with them. We had a nice, productive meeting. That's really all we can say about that. As predicted, though, the demo that we had cut on the air on last Thursday's episode was edited slightly.
A little editing?
By them.
Okay. Was it edited? It wasn't edited in a real bad way.
Well... What's the thing that Hughes said?
Is very nice, novel, a little long to embed in an email. So what he meant?
That's valid.
That is meant. Thank you.
I mean,
he
wants something that he can compress
Edited for aircraft.
So now they took what we did, which was 3 minutes and
like 3:48, I think.
3:48, yeah. And they turned it into 52 seconds.
Perfect.
Okay.
Let's see how they screwed it up.
So if you are the program director out there, and you heard Thursday's episode, you heard us kind of in a roundabout way explaining the show and what it's about, we went on for over 3 minutes.
Here's what they got.
Roll it.
See if you notice the edits.
I don't think you will.
Roll it.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I'm Don Geronimo.
And I'm Mike O'Mara.
We have a show called Don and Mike Show. The show is about hilarity. If you are listening to all the hilarity, you probably already decided to make money on the hilarity.
Yes.
do you hear that funny skits?
Yes.
Tremendous TSL?
Yes.
And our tremendous hilarity?
Yes.
And our tremendous ratings?
Because that is the
hilarity
nature of this broadcast.
And how you make money on the show, and it's barter, and it's make money on the show. Don and Mike Show delivers tremendous ratings,
I promise you.
And even more tremendous TSL time spent listening.
Hilarity, swear to God.
Men 25 to 54, almost show has reached 20 share.
Swear to God.
It's a straight barter deal.
Swear to God.
And you run it when you want it.
Meaning?
We have lots of interaction with our listeners.
That's what the show is about.
But thanks for joining us on our demo.
Then call Westwood One.
Okay. Stop that.
I like to start the week like that.
See, I don't think that they will think that that's funny.
They won't?
They won't think that's funny.
Well, no, they probably won't.
They won't.
We like it because I love those nice edits. I love edits that sound like edits. Hey, that's a great comedy technique.
I imagine that somewhere down the road after our conversations on Friday up in New York, somewhere there will be an editing machine taken to the verbose way that we went on about the show.
Well, what there will be is a lot of new affiliates.
Yeah.
That's fun. Yeah.
Wait for that to happen, Jackson.
Either way.
And you know when?
I'm an optimistic guy.
At that point, your name becomes Action Jackson, not just Jackson.
Right.
And incidentally, for those of you wondering, that is the official new, it's become the new name that we call each other now.
Yeah.
Jackson.
Jackson. What's happening, Jackson?
How you doing, Jackson?
What's happening, Jackson?
Hey, Jackson. Oh, Jackson.
It's not Jack.
No.
Jack. Like, what's happening, Jack? It's Jackson.
Jackson, you got a long way to go before you're going to tell me that again, Jackson. Watch out for that.
Hello, Jackson. Hello, Jackson.
Let's go see Wayne Newton, Jackson.
All right, Stonewall. Stonewall, Jackson.
Oh, well, the Jackson out in my neck of the woods.
That's it. Today, let me mention something that I'm not uptight about, but is slightly serious, at least to me. Today would have been my 25th wedding anniversary with Frida. She passed away last July, so we almost made it to 24, and this would have been 25. And something that she had done on our 20th anniversary, we had this, we discussed it on the air. I think she came in and showed you guys the tattoo she had on her ass,
right?
That said, had my name and then XX, you know, like Super Bowl numerals for 20, indicating that we had made it to 25.
Right.
One of the things that she had said to me in real life over and over again was, "When are you going to get a tattoo for me?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, meaning when am I going to get something about her? Since the only tattoo that I have is.
Is that ridiculous Batman you have on your shoulder?
You say ridiculous.
And I, you know, I don't mean it.
You say ridiculous, and I say drop dead sexy.
It just sounds funny to say it.
Yeah,
there's
right.
That ridiculous Batman.
Look at the guns. Look at the gun show. Yeah, well, there it is.
You know, I remember it being bigger. It actually looks a little more. I haven't seen it in a while. It looks a little more tasteful now.
Well, the
that ridiculous tattoo.
The point is, when we were in Miami, back when Frida was alive, when we got tattoos, Bart and I got tattoos, she thought it was interesting at the time that he got one on his ankle, the Chinese symbol for family.
Right.
And I chose to get Batman on my shoulder, the little Batman bat.
TV logo.
And then she got, you know, my name on her ass with XX, and she said to me, "Really, when are you going to?" And I remember saying to her, on our 25th, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
When we make it to the 25th, that's really where we can turn up our noses at everybody that said, you know, hey, it wouldn't last.
Right.
So I would like to get a tat.
Mm-hmm.
Where I would like to get it, I think, is actually where my son has a tattoo, right on the inside wrist.
Okay. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have tattoos there.
My right hand.
Right.
And what I'd like is my wife's initials, FWS, and then XXV underneath.
Right.
Nothing gigantic.
Right.
Something that can be covered up by, you know, by a fabulous piece of wristwear.
Long sleeve shirt.
Or simply a long sleeve shirt.
You want to put it right up about there, right?
Like where, like
not
where
all the way down to the hand, but
like
right
where
up
you
there.
Wear your Livestrong or you know your, right. Whatever it is your
whatever plastic bracelet we're all wearing.
Yeah,
today.
Yeah. So anyway, I would like a tattoo, and I don't mind paying for it.
Okay.
I'd like to have it done on the air,
all right,
if possible. I know that. When we used to have those idiotic bets with J-Dubs, when he kept having to get all of those tattoos.
He got them done on the air quite often.
We would have this guy, and Hefe and J-Dubs, I think, are still down in Orlando.
Mm-hmm. Still doing? Are they doing a morning show down there?
No, they're doing a night show down there,
nighttime.
As far as I know. They're doing great down there.
Right.
J-Dubs, God bless him, just, I mean, really makes Joe look Mensa. You know, that
dumb
be,
as a box of cotton balls.
That would be Joe's name. Joe's name would be Joseph Mensa.
Uh-huh.
If he was around J-Dubs,
mm-hmm.
he would make stupid bets with me. On
impossible bets.
Crazy bets. On football.
The kind of bets that you love.
Involving, like, the guy seriously on the back, on the back of his back, but it's on his back.
Yeah.
Literally, like, where a guy's name would be on his jersey, it says Indianapolis mm-hmm. in big, big freaking letters.
And then under it, there's the Green Bay G, like, on the middle of his back, and that was, like, at least 6 inches long.
He's a Detroit fan. Because Justin Johnson never knew how to make a bet.
Right.
And he liked paying those bets. He liked paying off tattoo bets because he liked getting tattooed.
He also had a football score for, again, the Lions lost
tattoo.
Yeah,
tattooed. I bet by now he's got a sleeve on each arm.
He had one year, like in 2004, he came in all proud with a big, gigantic Detroit Lions thing on his shoulder.
Right.
And it said Super Bowl champions 2004.
Yeah, that's right.
That was his way of assuring the Detroit Lions a Super Bowl victory.
Didn't work.
And I also remember his mother was a janitor.
That's right. That is right. Yeah. I think she was a custodial superintendent, Rob.
Okay.
Damn.
This is J-Dubs.
Mrs. What's his real last name?
Justin Johnson. I didn't come up with that one on my own, of course.
Mrs. J.
Thank you, Kong.
He was good people.
Oh, Kong got
Justin Johnson. Did you ever hear of Kong?
Huh. All right. So anyway, if you'd like to be involved in this and you're a good tat artist, and you can bang this thing out tomorrow's show or Wednesday's show.
Very good.
Shoot us an email back there with Yanni at DonnaMikeWebsite.com.
Yes, make sure it's sanitary. You will be screened.
Make it as sterile as possible.
You want a good one.
We can have it done on the air and do it in the break. And, you'll see my tolerance for pain. Well, really,
I would imagine that's a little sensitive right now.
I don't think more than 20 minutes would be required. I'm not looking for anything huge.
Pretty simple.
Three initials, three letters underneath.
And if you want it that small, we could get somebody from maybe correctional facility that could do it with an ink pen.
That's right. And a nail.
Like those prison tats you see on people's
Or
fingers.
We could just get a midget to come do it.
Father Donald.
Wouldn't that be the easiest way? The weekend. Oh, God. There was stuff besides our trip to New York.
Yeah.
I got a couple of things to tell you. First, this to me is rather amazing. I've not discussed my brother JP on the show for a long time. For months, because really, the guy is going through, I don't want to go into great detail what he's going through, but he's going through some medical stuff.
Okay.
And anyway, he's refused to see a doctor for, I guess, we were talking about it, almost 30 years.
30 years, his entire life.
Wow. Last time he was fully checked, I think it was... He was in the Army.
That's the last time he got his full medical.
So anyway, it's been a while we had talked, and then we would miss each other, and then I would be frustrated at his lack of, and I don't want to give away too much here, because I respect my brother's privacy, but I was really frustrated at his lack of initiative as far as his health and where he seems to be in life. As it is right now, he's loving life. And
good.
And at some point this week, we'll play Wheel of People, and we'll call him up and we'll see what's happening.
Good.
So I spent some time over the weekend with the JP, chatting with him. I spent some quality time over the weekend with Big Frida.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about a bookend weekend.
Right.
That a guy really couldn't wish for better times.
Sounds like you got the two pieces of the puzzle.
It's all about family for you.
Yeah, perfect weekend.
It really was. And the thing that really made it seem like a weekend for me, because I got nothing to, really did nothing to tell you. I mean, I love my brother, and I hope he's doing okay. And,
right.
And we'll get him on the show, and he wants to come back on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I just been respecting his health issues. Big Frida, I love her. God, I love her like my mom. I mean, I enjoy spending time with her.
And so, see you, obviously.
Well, you're goddamn
always,
right.
Always. Yeah.
You're right about that.
Yeah.
But it was the matter of the golf game.
Oh, with the neighbor? Yeah.
So not everything was, you know, it was nice and warm and fuzzy and coming to resolution or meeting with someone that you love.
Uh-huh.
On Saturday, I went and we played golf. Now, here's the good news. This guy, Johnny A-hole, really is a fantastic golfer. Mike, what you would call a scratch golfer.
You don't get much better than that. I mean, you don't. I mean, if you're a scratch golfer, then you go into the pros. I mean, and that's the guy that shoots even par.
The guy, I'm not kidding, is a freaking magician.
Wow.
When I'm out there playing golf, he can see what I'm doing, and instantly he's had a way.
He's had a way with me.
Oh, wow. He's had a way or his?
His way.
Well,
he hasn't had his way with you.
Well,
he?
His way worked for me, Mike. All I know is that the guy changed my stance, changed
the way.
Did
you go out early or late this time?
About 11 o'clock.
Okay. All
about 11 o'clock.
In the middle of the
about 11
day
o'clock.
With everybody out there.
So we had a fearsome foursome.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was really helping me out. He was really helping me out.
Good. Isn't this your third week in a row?
I think third out of 4 weeks.
That's great.
Third out of four.
All right.
Now, literally, I broke 100. 99.
Again, good.
99. We're out doing all that stuff. We're kibitzing, and as the day goes on, and I'm just relying on him for tips, and his tips are really helping me out, and we're talking with these other two schmucks, and, you know, as the day goes on, he starts getting in my face a little bit about... It's the old yin and yang,
right?
That this guy and I have. Yeah, there's a couple of those involved. Right?
A couple of adult beverages.
Well, the cart comes by.
Well, you know, and you do. You're in an environment where busting chops is part of the deal. I mean, that's part of the
but this
deal.
Guy would say stuff like, "We would be walking to wherever the ball was,
right?
And the other two guys would be walking together, and he'd be walking with me, and he'd say, you know, and he would just he'd swing the club." And just kind of knock the grass out of the way on the way. Just like we're just having a whimsical little walk. And he's like, well, you know, that stuff that you said on the radio and the stuff that I said to you, I really do feel that way. I mean, we have a good time golfing and all, and you seem like a nice enough guy, but, geez, could you take yourself any more seriously?
Wow.
You know, and then, like, at one point, I really had to take a leak. I really, really had to take a leak.
Right.
And I said... How long until we get to whatever the cabin is or whatever they call the place? Whatever, you know,
you're still a rookie.
Because there's like a halfway house or something like that. You
that's
know,
what cabin. They call it. The
the halfway house.
Right. No, it's called the urinary cabin. That's what it's called.
But
how long to the urinal cabin?
Butler
urinal cabin.
And he said, if you really have to go, just do what we all do and walk through the woods.
That's normal. That's, you can do that.
And
watch
I
out
said
for the poison ivy.
I said to him, I said... I kind of talk about doing that on the air, and I said, these other two guys, you know, I don't know them from Adam, but now they know who I am, and I don't know how, and then that started as we got it going on the next hole.
Usually if there's like a tree stand around the tee, you know, you can like go off to the side, or if you're in the middle of the fairway and you have an opportunity, you just...
All I did was mention to the guys, we really got to take a leak, and he said, well, go behind the tree, and I said, well, these guys are watching me, and they know who I am. So as soon as I have this conversation, we walk back towards the car. We're putting our clubs in. He goes, hey, Mr. I'm a Star doesn't want to take a pee in front of you guys.
Oh, boy.
He's kind of afraid that, what, maybe you'll ask for his autograph while you're out there.
Oh, God.
So this guy is just absolutely busting my balls. And he's really getting revenge for the way that he feels about the things that I said about him.
While he's helping you, he's also taking out some of his frustration on you.
Yeah, and there's no doubt he's definitely helping me. Here's where we get to the breaking point. We are done with the round.
Right.
It has been 3 hours and 45 minutes. For me, excruciating.
That's good, though. That's a good short round. That's an incredible
for me, that was a long time.
Well, 3 hours and 45 minutes. You're breaking 4 hours. That's fantastic.
Well,
ran through the golf.
Well, they were moving you through.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, come on, you got to keep it moving. You got to keep it moving. That's why this guy was so helpful to me.
Right.
It would be like he would come up and say to me, use this stick.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, well, why should I use this stick? I never use it. I know, it's a club.
I know. Hey,
I'm calling it a stick, though.
No, what stick do I need? No, you were actually using the right slang.
He would say to me, use this stick.
Yeah, that's right.
And I would say, well, I've never used this stick. And he would say, oh, just trust me. do that thing where you just come up underneath it, and it's and you're going to be able to get it right on the green. Okay. Right. So, I mean, the guy, and I would do it. It would go,
bingo.
Just like on TV, it would go, boom. I mean, no, I had some crappy shots, but I played okay. But this guy's in my face.
You played well enough to enjoy yourself, right?
Yes, oh, I definitely did. And this guy had been in my face and, like, busted my balls. And when I stopped to, finally, when we got to the Nance cabin and I was able to take a leak, you know, I'm begging anybody for a mixed beverage, for an adult beverage, right. Because all that they're giving out there is, beer. You know, beer.
Mm. Yeah.
And, well, Johnny A-hole liked that, too.
Right.
What? Too fancy for beer? I mean, I'm not exaggerating.
Right.
That guy is just...
Does he do this for fun, or does he really feel this way?
No, he really...
What sense are you getting?
He really does not like me.
Well, no, that
much
does.
As I told you, I really do not like him.
I'm hearing that, and this is kind of normal.
Right, golf, that's why I asked.
Ball busting, you know?
But, Mike, he's taking it to a level where it's not golf. I mean,
is he taking it to a level, and I don't mean to give you a hard time, is he taking it to a level, or do you think you're being too sensitive?
No, here's how the date ended.
Okay.
I mean, everything
that's been said to you, I've probably heard myself out there.
Okay.
You know.
I offered nothing in response. I didn't say to him, oh, you know, you're a bad father, you have creepy kids.
Right. No. You come here under that.
You wanted to maybe go, I guess there's a halfway point.
You know, I did, but the guy was helping me out, these other guys were there, and like I said, I was a little... self-conscious
about. Did you know the other two dudes at all, or were they friends of the guys?
They're just two guys that were there.
They hooked up with you.
I don't know how it worked out.
Okay.
That's why we got on the course so quickly. That's why we had to move it along so quickly. We get done, and I'm filling out my thing, and everybody shakes hands, and I say,
phew,
I'm definitely turning this one in at that little stand, at that little shed, where if you've got a good score, you go and they rate you, right? And Johnny A-hole says to me, let me see your card.
Mm-hmm.
And I show him my card, and he says, oh, no. You got a 4 on this one. You wrote down a 3. That's a 4.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, no, I remember very distinctly. I said, the first shot was way off to the left.
Par 3?
You came over, yes.
You parred it. You made
a par.
Yes.
Uh-huh. It's a very short hole.
Right.
First one... Well, Mike, it is.
This is funny, yes. This is funny. It is a very short hurl. So you part it. That's good.
What I mean is it's like 120 yards.
The short par 3.
It's almost a putt-putt course.
Right.
But you have to get it over. It's on like a moat. And then you walk on a little bridge. So
right.
So the
island
trick is you've got to hit it over the water.
Uh-huh. You know what's killing me? You're cracking me up, though, with the lingo. That is so funny. Because now I know that you're like... You know, you're getting into it, and you're learning the lingo, though. You hit it over a moat.
So anyway, I do the first shot, and it's barely hanging on the edge. It's almost going in the water.
Right.
And he says to me, use this club, get underneath it, and just try to get some air under the ball. And goddamn if he's not right. The thing lands 2 inches from the cup, and
that tap it in. Tap it in for par.
1, 2, 3. I turn to one of these other schmucks that I was with, and I said, I know you don't really remember things, but back on whatever, on hole number 8, do you remember if I got a 3 or a 4? And both these guys looked at me like, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. What do you think you got? And I said, I got a 3. Johnny A-hole says, you got a 4. Then he says to Danny Noonan, the guy who's there with the checking your scores, give him 100, but really it should probably be 101.
Wow.
Now,
that's a little, well, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's either a 3 or a 4, and you know, it's
then
your responsibility.
So I said to him, what are you talking about, that it could be more? He said, well, there was that one that kind of... I said, what are you talking about? I said, he told me we take this seriously. Everybody keeps score. I said, I'm not lying. I got 99. I got 99. He said, 100. Maybe 101. So then at this point, Danny Noonan gets out the walkie-talkie. And it's like, will somebody come over and help out this jerk who can't get his card fixed, please?
Oh.
And Danny Noonan says, hold on.
Who the hell are they going to call?
Hold on. Someone will be right over. Some guy from the club comes over. Hey, how you doing? Can I help you out? Guy's just wearing a golf shirt.
Was he asking for a ruling or something? I mean, it's your score.
It's ridiculous.
What's up?
Danny Noonan?
Yeah, a guy like
so
Danny.
Did they call Judge Smales over?
So this guy comes over.
Was it a pro?
I don't know. You know what he looked like? He looked like the guy in Happy Gilmore that that Happy kept beating.
Okay. All right.
Shooter McGavin.
The slicky guy.
He's a slicky boy, right?
Probably an assistant pro or something.
So he comes over and he says,
where
hey.
Do you put your scores in there? Do they have a computer? I put your scores in a computer.
Yes, right there.
So you're inside the clubhouse at this point.
Well,
you're in the pro shop. Probably.
There's a little, like, tiki shack
okay. That's
attached to the pro shop.
Okay.
And when you're standing right there, you turn in your scores.
Yeah.
And they verify, they're like, okay, thank you, and then you go and you have a drink, right?
Mm-hmm. But this dispute is among men here. There's nothing this guy can do for
right. So, you know, Napoleon Dynamite, who's behind the counter, you know, he's like, I don't know what to write down. So he gets on the walkie-talkie, and the slicky guy comes down and says, hey, hi, how we doing? Is there a discrepancy here? And right away, Johnny Ahill says, well, my protege here.
Protege.
Wow. My protege wrote down 99, and I know that we are all very particular about this. Really, it's 100. Really, it's 100. He does not remember correctly. I've been a golfer here for a long time. You know me. I'm out helping, and these two are looking at each other with, like, man love.
What is he trying to accomplish? This is something amazing.
I'll tell you what he accomplished, Mike. What he accomplished was...
Your score went in as 100.
It went in as 100.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
And I really got pissed.
Welcome to the club.
I really, really got pissed. Like, here's the only thing that
use
I
use that as motivation.
Here's what I know what I look like. And I'm going out on a limb because maybe you've seen the clip, maybe you haven't. About a week ago, that chick, Danica Patrick.
Yeah.
Did you see when she was in some IndyCar race and something happened to her car?
Uh-huh.
Like it just stopped going.
Right.
And she got out of the car and stood up and down like a girl and went like,
stomping and jumping.
I'm so mad.
Hopping mad, that's where it comes from.
Then she kicked the car.
Yeah, right.
She kicked the car and it got played on SportsCenter like 1,000 times.
Uh-huh.
When Scooter, thank you for the name.
Shooter.
And Johnny Yeho.
What's his last name, Shooter?
Shooter McGavin. Christopher McDonald.
Right.
But they got together and said it's a 100. I said...
I've never heard of that. That's amazing that they actually would be able to review
still,
your score.
Especially it's your word against his. Scooter McGavin.
He's calling you like you would in a match. It's amazing.
Scooter McGavin.
Shooter.
Excuse me. Said to me that they take it very seriously. If you're going to be rated for your handicap, you take it seriously. And that if there's a dispute in the foursome... That quite often someone will come down and discuss, and he feels real bad for me. But this other guy has played countless times and plays in their tournament every year, and technically I was his guest, and said he probably is, and
he's been there longer.
You know, and the guy guy just smelled like Aqua Velva and fake Rolex, and
so it goes in as 100.
So he said, from what I hear, you've not been out very much, and 100, well, that's nothing to shake a stick at. And I said...
It's true.
I said, no. Yeah, this will not do. And he's like, excuse me, is there a problem? I said, you bet your ass there's a problem. Meanwhile, I look over, Johnny A-hole now is just sitting back, loving it.
Sure, right.
He's just standing in the corner with the other three.
He wins.
And he's doing this thing where he's leaning back on his golf club. Like he's just watching a show.
Oh, wow.
Hey, look at him. Look at him argue about it. Look at him jump up and down. Because I really need to jump up and down. I said, I'm telling you, I swear with every part of my soul that I parred that hole. I said, I remember the three strokes.
Well, it would seem to me with a score like you had, you would remember the pars because you wouldn't have a lot of pars with that score.
Right.
So, I mean, that would be the reason you'd remember it more.
Well, I had three pars, as a matter of fact.
That's good.
On the day. No, I took it back. Really, only two. So what I did, because they took the other one away.
Right.
Guy said it's 100, and I just said, he said, you know, I wish you, something like, you know, I wish you a gust of dreams and, you know,
and fairways and greens.
And about what was it, Mike?
I wish you fairways and greens.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, you dick golfer. That's exact. I swear to God, that's what the guy said. I wish you fairways and greens.
Right.
And I said, I wish that you would tell me who your supervisor is. Because I'm a member here, too.
You are.
Yep. That's right.
And
I mean, the fact is, your score is you. Unless, and now, did he have it corroborated by the other two players?
The other two guys.
They went along with him?
No, hold on a second. This is where it just gets.
I've never heard. This is a friendly match. This isn't even. You're not even playing competitively.
Not competitive.
It's really up to you to put your scores
in.
It's Johnny A-hole. It's really what it is it's payback.
He might think he's teaching you, you know, that you know, that you don't, you know, you don't take this, you don't take that. If it's out of bounds, it's out of bounds. You know, it's counting all the strokes and stuff like that and making sure that, you know, like if you hit it out of bounds.
But, Mike, I did stuff with this guy. I did stuff with this guy like this. Like, oh, Christ, you know, I got that's a seven. You know, he said, that's okay, you'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
You'll come back. Mm-hmm. You got a three a couple of holes ago. You'll come back. You come back. Don't worry. I mean, you know, so the guy was just.
He might even be trying to motivate you.
No, I found out. Mm. Let me just say that this ended very, very poorly.
Mm.
Because what I said to Shooter McGavin was, I would like to see your boss because I'm a member here as well. And he said, okay, that's fine. Why don't you go on inside of the clubhouse and wait, and I'm sure someone will be glad to come down and see you.
Well, then.
So I started to go inside, and the other two guys walk away, and Johnny Ahale walks away, and I
said, can I give you a little tip about this?
Yeah.
That you could, like, accept his decision, you know, and take care of that, and then 10 minutes after he walks back, go into the computer and change your score back to what you thought it should be anyway.
Well, I wouldn't know.
It really normally doesn't have anything to do with anybody.
I wouldn't know how to do it. And besides,
you put your member in and post your score.
Traditionally, isn't it supposed to be the honor system?
It is the honor system.
Yeah, I was asked to leave. So let me just get to that point.
Wow.
Would you please? The thing is, they say, come inside and, you know, someone will discuss this with you. If you're really hot about this. Because I was really acting like a baby. Like, you know, come on. Christ, I never come golfing here. I'm no good at golf. It means a lot to me. Jesus Christ. And so, okay, please come. So I'm waiting. I'm following this guy inside, and Johnny A-hole is still standing there with the other two guys. And they said, hey, Johnny, come on, inside. He said, hey, you're on your own. And I said, no. You're coming with me.
He's turned to me.
You're gonna talk to this guy because it's my word against your word. He says, hey, friend. And he turns it right away. He turns it around, and there's a lot of people watching.
Oh,
there's a lot of people that are having lunch out on the terrace.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of guys waiting for their tea time right around noon. This is happening. It's very crowded.
Right.
He says, hey, real loud. He says, pal, take it easy. Take it easy. I'm on your side. I said, you're on my side? Tell him what the score was. He said, hey, it was 100, okay? It was 100. Be happy, it was 100. What are you doing? I said, come here. I want you to come here. And he said, well, are you threatening me? And I said, you bet your ass. Get over here. And at that point, he said, I've been physically threatened. Now, the guy says this. I swear on my wife's grave. You know, I exaggerate. I am not exaggerating here. He says, he turns around and says, you all heard, he physically threatened me. If I need to take this man to court, I've got all of you as witnesses.
Oh, wow.
He is physically harassed. And I said, F you. I said, F you. And it was at that point that Shooter McGavin said, you know, like that's a word that's never been used in golf, said,
right.
Would you come with me, please?
You've worn out your welcome at Bushwood, sir.
Would you simply come with me, please? And I said, what, to talk to the guy? I said, no, you are over agitated. We need to get you away from the situation. Because everybody's looking at me, yeah. Right? I mean, I'm drenched in sweat.
Right.
Got my stupid golf clubs with my goddamn Green Bay Packers shaggy things hanging on the woods. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I go inside. I get inside, and Shooter says to me, why don't you just go home? That was kind of embarrassing outside. Why don't you just go home for the day.
All of the day.
A 100 is a fine score, and we appreciate the fact that you're here. And I said, dude, you don't even know. And he said, dude, you don't even know that we can have you physically thrown off the property. Now, I'm asking you, please, because it seems to me that you are the agitated one. I'm asking you, please, to step back and cool off. Have a nice day. Thank you. And he walked away.
Wow.
He walked away. So I'm standing there in the hallway. Just watching people go by. Now, I still got on the shoes that have the spikes on them, right? Like, I'm thinking, am I even allowed to go back into the locker room to change my shoes?
Right.
Right? Like,
all right.
He said, leave. And, well, hold on. My car keys and everything are locked up in the locker.
Right.
I got to go in there. I'm in there. I'm putting my shoes on. I'm not bothering anybody. There's nobody in there. Like 5 seconds later, there he is. Hey, how you doing? Just want to make sure that everything's okay. I said, exactly what do you think is going to happen? What have I done to make... And he said, well, Johnny Jerkoff downstairs told us that you have a bit of a violent past with him. I said,
wow.
So the violent past. Said, the guy's a dick to his wife at parties. The guy's been a neighbor of mine for 10 years. The guy, I told him the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing about the pool.
Right.
I said, the guy's helping me play golf. The guy's busting my balls outside. I wanted to ask where the bathroom was. Guy told me take a leak in the woods. I wouldn't do it. You know, and that, he said, good, 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 good. No going to the bathroom. Something like, you know, that's,
right. Mm-hmm.
We frown against that,
right,
is
right.
What he said. But he eventually ended up saying, goodbye, get out, take your leave.
Yeah.
That he was going to watch me. They were going to take Johnny Jerkoff's word over mine. So I get in my car, and I'm driving home, and God damn it, I'm hot.
Yeah.
And I get home, and I'm still mad about it. And I'm just sitting there, just debating, just thinking, when's he going to be at home? I'm going to call him up, and I see, oh, there it is, incoming call. It's Johnny Jerkoff, his cell.
Mm-hmm.
I pick it up. Hello? He says, ha, ha, ha. I got you going today now, didn't I? I got you going. You got to admit it. You got to admit it. I got you going. Oh, I got you. Oh, I got you so bad.
Right.
You got so... And I said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Ass. And then I use another word after. I said, wait. I said, A-H. You're telling me now that's a gag? I said, son! And right away, I know that the guy's just dripping with crap. Son. You know, like we have that type of relationship. Son! 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 I was just giving you a hard time. It's like, it's an initiation to the fraternity. It's the way we do things. I said, come on back. Have a drink with us. Come on back now. And then I said, F you.
Oh, wow.
I said, F you.
So there was just one elaborate ruse.
I don't believe him.
Well, it doesn't sound like it. I don't know if they threw you off the property.
Hard to read. I do not believe him. One of the things that I said to the guy was, if that's the case, if you were just jerking my chain, then I'll come back and let's meet with Scooter McGavin, and you can tell him that the whole thing was just a goof. He said, well, part of it was true. He said, really, you did get 100. I said,
oh, so he wasn't.
No, that
is not, I guess.
And I said, hold on. Then we're right back to where we started.
Right.
He said, oh, yes, on that I truly believe you got a 100. But everything else beyond that, that was just me having some fun.
Wow. So what's your tea time Saturday?
Oh.
Right.
And then he said, I want to remember exactly what it was. It was something like, how's it feel? And I said, what are you talking about? He said, how's it feel? You give it out all the time. How's it feel to have some of it thrown back your way?
Doesn't exactly sound like a friend.
No.
But he's taught you a little bit of golf.
So what
are you going to do?
What happened was, I'm, as you can tell by my voice, I mean, I'm fine. I'm just I'm revved up about this I was on Saturday. I said to the guy and I really, I mean, God, if they're tapping my phones, they're gonna be a SWAT team in front of my house. I said to the guy, you know, you are the lowest form of low, you and your dirty, dirty, filthy family, and I will talk about you every day because I've never mentioned your name on the radio, and every time I say Johnny Jerkoff, you're going to know I'm talking about you, and I want to tell you it's going to be my goal to get you tossed out of Bushwood because you're a lying sack of ass, and it's furthermore, blah, 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 and you treat your wife like she's a piece of crap, as only a coward does that. Only a coward does that! And I realized...
So it ended well, then. Jesus. Wow.
Yeah.
My God.
Your game's improved.
Yeah. Ended with me threatening him. Saying, come by my property.
Uh-huh.
And this is how full of macho BS, testosterone, like Floyd Liar Landis I was. Now listen to this coming from me. You step a foot on my property, I don't carry a weapon. But I do have a Louisville Slugger, and I will beat your head like it is a T-ball. I don't have the balls to back that up. You know what I mean?
That's why you said that thing about the phones if they were tapped.
I mean,
SWAT team.
I ain't got the balls to beat some guy's head.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, he got to you. It sounds like he got
it. He thinks he's the winner today.
Yeah.
I know. What, Colin?
We should break, but also after you took a swing at him with the bat, he'd probably help you improve your stance.
Come! The eighth wonder of the world!
Come up under him.
Okay, well, listen.
Are you going to keep playing golf?
Excuse me.
Are you going to keep playing?
I think so.
Good.
Except football now.
Right. Yeah, no,
just in time,
true.
I'd say.
All-encompassing football. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, when they kicked you out, why did you threaten to buy that snobatorium and turn it into condos?
Rodney.
Denny.
Al Cervix. Whatever his name. Wasn't it Cervix?
Cervix.
At your cervix.
At your cervix. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing today?
Hey, we're doing great, thank you.
Don, two words, dueling pistols.
Sounds like it. Sounds really like you just walk up to him with a glove and you do a little slap, slap, slap.
I don't know. The guy really is a nut job. Mm-hmm. The guy really is a freaking nut job.
He's a little odd.
And if he's listening now, I have done everything in my power to pollute your name in the neighborhood. I called neighbors yesterday.
No, you know what the best thing you can do for him is you can break 90. That's what you can do.
Break 90 baseball bats over his head.
No, break the score of 90.
No, I want to tell you something.
You can do it.
I said I was going to do this. I told him this yesterday when I was so hot. I said I was going to call. Pussy, I am. First thing I say, you set foot on my property. I'm going to bust your head with a baseball bat and go T-ball. And then I said, furthermore, I'm calling everybody. I'm calling everybody on the street, even on the extended street, and they're all going to know what a jerk you are.
I'm going to tell everybody about you.
Come on, how high school can I be?
And they say that a lot, Damone.
And you know what? What's sad is I did. I started.
You started on the phone tree.
I started by calling the people that live two houses away from me.
Right.
I tried Big Ed first, the old guy who I knew would sympathize. He was not at home. Try the people next door. Now, they have a four-month-old baby, and their life is pretty much revolving around the kid.
Right, yeah.
So she picks up the phone. She's like, hello, it's me. You know, Mr. I never call anybody. I never go to anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to break through all of that. I go, hey, hi, it's me. I just wanted to see how you guys are doing. How's the baby? Oh, fine, we're busy right now. Hold on a second. And she puts him on the phone, right? And so it's the husband. He goes, hey, how you doing, stranger? And I said, hey, I just want to tell you what an a-hole John Jerkoff is. Can I just tell you the things that this guy has done to me over the last 3 weeks? Really, a lot of people ask me why I don't go to neighborhood functions. Really, this guy's the reason. I've never liked this guy. I told him I was going to call everybody and tell them, and I'm just calling you to tell you.
Huh?
That's what I just felt like.
That's when you realized how insane you were sounding.
The ass of asses, because the guy said... I did my whole spiel, and he said, are you okay? I said, I'm fine. He said, are you having a rough day about Frida? And I said, no. This has nothing to do with Frida. He said, hey. Said, what? Tell me what's going on. So I told him as briefly as I could what had happened, and he said, he allegedly said we all feel that way about him. He said, but all neighborhoods have. I said, but no, you don't understand. This guy really, I mean.
Was it during the conversation you realized that you sounded troubled?
Yeah, he said, I said, he's pushed me to the limit. And then the guy says, the neighbor says, you almost sound like one of those people that you describe who you're afraid of showing up at your house. And I said, well, I'm not going to do anything to the guy. I just wanted to tell everybody. And he said, what?
Could you hear him locking his doors?
Kong, the eighth wonder of the world.
Anyway, it ended like this. The date ended with, thank God he was the first I called.
Right.
Because I said, I'm going to keep calling people, and I just want them to know.
Did you keep calling?
No, because he said, Mike, and for those of you that don't know, that,
Michael Sword.
That's my real name. That's my DJ name. He says, Mike, you don't want to do this. He said, you don't want to be calling people, just telling,
talk badly about a guy,
telling them that this guy has pissed you off.
No.
And I said, I told him that I would.
Well, why not?
I told him.
He hurt my feelings.
Following through.
I said, I told him that I would.
Right.
And he said, you know, Mike, he said, we've lived on this street for about 8 years. He said, I like you. I think you're a very nice guy. I think most people like you, when they get to know you, you've got a good heart and you're a really good guy. I said, but I think you have problems with people. This is the neighbor, the friend neighbor that I called.
Whoa.
yeah, the one who likes me. Right. And I said, well, I am shy. You know that. He said, well, no, there is more to it. I said, wait a minute, hold on a second. I said, you're not taking his side, are you? He said, I'm not talking about sides. I'm talking about the way you're. And then I said, you know what? I just realized this is. I was so incredibly rude to this guy. I said, I just realized football comes on in 5 minutes. Thanks for talking. You're right. I won't call anybody else. I'll see you later. thank you, buddy.
Cool.
Now,
football, the savior.
Now the game comes on. Uh-huh. Thank God the game's on.
Yeah.
Okay, it's in beautiful high def on NBC. And now. There's games on now for the next month, always. It's like, there's a game on Thursday night.
So you won't have to deal with the boys at the club torturing you anymore.
A game on Thursday night, game on Saturday night, game on Sunday night, game on Monday night. I'm watching the game. I'm into it. I've got the big picture going, the big sound going. Phone rings, and I see it's the neighbor that I just got off the phone with. I pause the TiVo thing, right, and I pick it up, and I think it's him, and I go, hello? Because now in my mind, I'm fine.
Right.
I'm back to normal.
Calm down.
Welcome to my psychotic world.
Right.
Suddenly, I mean, can you even tell by listening to my voice? I mean,
sounds like you've had a stressful weekend.
I was so stressed out when I was telling you about what happened to that guy. Mm-hmm. I know my voice sounded more like this.
Right. Of course.
Now that I'm calmed down, I told you about it. There you go. Pipes are coming back.
Back to football.
So by this point, I'm really chilled out. I pick the phone and go, I think it's him. Hello? And she says, and she says, hi there. You know, she just says this. She's just.
She's worried about you.
That was a very. She said, we're all very worried about you. I said, oh, well, hold on. Who's we're all? She said, well, we got really concerned. So then it totally freaking backfired on me. All of the neighbors, well, not all of them, four of them, they called each other to discuss how effed up I was after I called the good neighbor.
Wow.
So rather than me spread my venomous lies about this guy, truth sprinkled with lies, but you know, rather than me spread that like a Pied Piper, in fact, the phone tree got going about how effed up I am.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. So it didn't work out well.
No, it was awful. It was just, it was awful.
So he ruined your weekend, really.
He is just drop dead, Fred. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Dead to you.
Yes, right. Go away.
So you're having the next barbecue?
I don't know, Buzz.
Yeah.
I don't know. Buzz.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's the next move?
As I listen to you tell this story, I must tell you something.
There is no next move. My friendship is over with this pal.
I must tell you something.
Yeah.
As I listen to you, I just have one thought that continuously goes through my head.
Yeah.
I'm always wondering which one of us is more emotionally unstable. That's all that I ever, you know, you with your, you in your way and me in my way.
Well,
because you had your kind of weekend and I spent the majority of my weekend, my niece's wedding weekend, in tears. So, you know, that's just a different kind of instability.
Wow.
I mean, silly. Silly. Right till the end.
Oh, good. Oh, good. We'll break and we'll hear about that.
And I just said to myself, you know, am I unstable? I mean, I know a little emotion's a good thing.
Yes.
But we both had our different kinds of emotional weakness.
A little wobbly there. I'm very unstable.
I am unstable. I'm aware of that.
I need corrective shoes for life.
I need corrective shoes for my brain. I truly do.
That I might be the winner.
Well, and, you know, my buddy, look, if it's any consolation to you, the guy that I play a lot of golf with, my buddy Randall, who's also a Yankee fan, we could be playing the two nicest guys in the world. Really, the sweetest guy. Hey, Randall, Mike, this is your opponent and his best friend. Don is, you know, over here. He's cured cancer. He's a fantastic human being. He's also donated almost all of his income to the poor. And we'll just drive away in the cart and we'll look at each other and go, son of a bitch.
God, I hate that.
Yeah, but this guy was really a jerk.
I mean,
I agree with you.
Yeah. Who dicks around about lying about it?
A little power trip thing going on.
About one goddamn stroke.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he gets me thrown out
of Bushwood. But you get to come back. They just asked you to leave for a while to cool off.
Oh, right? They reminded me on the way out.
Don't let him drive you out of that club. Do not let that happen.
They reminded me on the way out that since I never use it, that I better like use the restaurant or something. Otherwise, I'm going to be charged.
It's a minimum,
right? Yeah.
You don't have to use it. You just pay for it anyway.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, if you don't use it, you pay for it anyway.
That's what they're saying.
That's a minimum.
You've got to, you know, hold on.
Take the bill out and light it with a flame.
Hold on. Yeah. Understand, as they're kicking me out for the day.
You got to use your minimum, sir.
They're saying, don't forget, come back real soon.
Right.
Because you got all this, like, credit to eat in the restaurant and stuff that you never use.
Yeah, don't come today.
Got our eye on you.
Don't come today.
I'll be back tonight. Naked.
There you go. So that's what's happening. That was the weekend.
Jesus.
Wow. Yeah. I know. I don't know what to tell you about it. The guy is just a jerk. What a jerk off. What a beautiful golf coach.
Because I am golf swing.
Because I am really the most uncoordinated, unathletic piece of garbage on the planet.
Right.
And I mean to tell you, did he make me hit the sweet spot?
That's good. he got did. Something out of the deal.
He did. Screw him. You hear me? Screw you.
Wow.
Screw you. F you, F face.
God, I'm glad he had a good golf weekend.
F me, F you. F you! I've waited 36 hours for this.
Well, it sounds to me like you've worn out your welcome at Bushwick.
I've waited 36 hours to come on and say, F you! You're listening right now. F you!
I'm so glad you didn't call the rest of the neighbors, though.
No need, really. You have this show.
And then he said, and then he did, and then he said,
yeah.
Are you all right? Jesus, I know that feeling.
You okay?
I really do. Are you okay?
Oh, yeah, it's me. It's me now. See, you're tapping my phone. F you too.
We'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
You've seen Richard Petty run for Congress.
Mm-hmm.
You're extremely popular. Have you ever thought of getting involved in politics?
I have, Larry. I have, indeed. I have a lot of ideas. The first thing I think I'd like to do is get rid of speed limits. And
All
speed limits. I think they're useless, and they just slow people down. And when you have to transport goods, or get somewhere in a hurry,
you're in a hurry. Exactly.
You got to go.
You don't need the government telling you how fast you need to get to your meeting.
And you know, also put numbers on cars. I'd like to
put numbers on.
Yeah. And also like have flagmen at every intersection. That's just how it starts.
What about Iraq?
Well, I wish Ford would bring back the Iraq. that was a good car. I love the Iraq.
Iraq and roll.
Yeah.
No, I had one.
No, not the Iraq. The war in Iraq.
Well, we already won that war, Larry.
Yeah.
Didn't you hear? Mission accomplished, man.
Yeah. Well, there's still troops there, you know.
Well,
That is a typical newsman smokescreen, Larry. I mean, not to call you out, but show and prove.
Yeah, please do.
I didn't think so. I think we should have done the Oprah show instead of this one. We should have gone
with that.
We can
still leave if we want.
Please.
They allow at least 8 hours from bottle to throttle. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Gotta say this about old WF. He delivers, man.
You didn't check it out over the weekend, did you?
Nope. I got to see it, $47 million, and...
Is it getting good reviews? Have I heard that it's getting good reviews? I haven't read any.
Here's the reviews that I look for. People that I know.
Right.
Like Rob's friend Brad.
Yeah. Brad, go see it?
Yeah.
Brad fell in love with it.
Yeah.
He told me it's even better than Anchorman. I said, how could that be?
So I just, shut up. Anchorman's great. So I saw a couple of other friends over the weekend, and they all said, I can't believe you're not at Ricky Bobby.
Yeah.
Ricky Bobby. Go see Ricky Bobby. A movie made $47 goddamn million dollars this weekend.
That's how you do it.
That's, huge.
Well, I might go see it. I mean, I liked Anchorman, and this is the follow-up to Anchorman, so what the heck?
Hey, Yanni.
Hello!
There he is.
Norman!
Hey, have we gotten any emails about my tat?
No, been checking on that since you made mention of it. Haven't seen anything yet, but I think I might have the information on the guy who did J-Dub's last one.
Norman!
And you know, he's a skilled artist.
That guy was good.
He was good.
Except for all the track marks on his arms.
You know, and the screaming and the bleeding. Other than that, it was fine. Hey, your experience in the world of tattoos. You've gotten your tattoo.
I know somebody good. I'll make a call in the next break.
And I'm sure he's using a new needle now.
You know a good tat person?
Yeah, somebody we've actually worked with before.
He won't use the same needle that he used on J-Dub.
That would be great.
Absolutely.
What I'd like to get on my wrist is, because today is my 25th anniversary with Frida, to get her initials and then XXV.
Right.
Because on her ass, she had my name and XX. On our 20th, and I'd like to do it on the air tomorrow.
Very simple. Don't
get me going.
What?
Just don't get me going.
On
a tattoo?
Just the emotional stuff. It's an emotional thing.
Anything
you get that
metal
tattoo, and yeah. I've had it. I've had my...
As my Mexican friend said...
You baby. All right, what happened, Mike?
I went up to my niece's wedding, got out of New York, got up there for, wonderful to try to get anywhere on a Friday night, but I got up there in time for the... rehearsal dinner, and got up there in Bar Harbor. It's what they call, I learned a term, it's a destination wedding.
Oh,
have you heard that term?
Yeah.
As far as when people travel from far away. And my niece, it's my only niece, it's the first niece that I had, when Kathy, my only sister, it's her oldest child, and Jessica was getting married this weekend to her fiancé, Bill, and everybody was there in the entire family. I mean, there are people that I haven't seen there in 15 years.
Wow.
Everybody was there for the the extended family, cousins, my brother-in-law's college buddy. Cousins were there. All of my cousins were there. I was part of Paul and Kathy's wedding, my sister Kathy's wedding, back in 1977. There were 11 people that were associated with that wedding that were there for this wedding. So, I mean, all these friends that Paul has had, it's funny. My sister and her husband, I would give them credit, are so different than I am. They have maintained friendships and relationships over years. And I just find that to be the most amazingly uncanny thing that they're able to.
How do people do that,
maintain
Mike?
These relationships. And I'm seeing people, when you don't see people for like 15 years,
right,
and you get to be my age, at that point, if they're older than you, and in Paul's case, Paul's is almost 10 years older.
Did they ask you to DJ the reception?
No, but in a roundabout way, we will get to that. But I did do kind of the schlep work for the wedding. I really didn't have a major role in the ceremony, but I was the chauffeur.
Uh-huh.
I was responsible for getting the car, renting the car that was going to drive them from the church to the wedding reception. But it was a job that I relished. It was a job that I truly enjoyed. But when you don't see people for 15 years and you get to be my age and those people happen to be almost 10 years older than you, there would be people that would lean inside the car. There's like one particular friend of my brother-in-law's who I hadn't seen, and people are at the age now where they have gotten, you don't recognize people if you see them for 10 years. And when you're in your 20s and you're having like high school reunions, when you get to be almost 50, well, I'm 47 and my sister's in her 50s, when you see people that you haven't seen for a long time at that age, you get the truly unrecognizable factor, right?
Yeah.
This was a good-looking guy, this friend of my brother-in-law's, Paul Fedeli, who leans in the car and he goes,
Mikey! Like this, and I looked over, and I'm like, and my reaction was seriously, hello, sir. How are you, sir? And it was this guy. He's still a good-looking guy and all that, and he's got all his hair on, like,
he's a fag.
But
that's
for you, because he's still a good-looking guy.
He's just a cool guy. There are a lot of friends. I saw all my cousins, all the road cousins.
So when did you start losing it?
I lost it as soon as the toast was made by the groom at the rehearsal dinner on Friday night, and it caught me completely by surprise. That was tier number one. As far as, not sobbing, but losing it. Getting emotional and really, you know, I'm talking lower lip quivering. I'm talking, and he gets their bill.
You mean the way that I felt watching Troy Aikman being inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame yesterday?
Like exactly like that. Did you knock over your chair again?
Yeah, well.
You knocked over your stool.
My stool.
You're flying. Do you have restless leg syndrome? I'm just curious about that.
Have your stool checked.
So the toast goes, he gives a great toast. He gives a funny toast. Talks about my niece and how much he likes my niece. And he mentions, God, he said something that was a real gaffe, where he said, I know you won't have your looks forever. And everybody went, wait, no. And it was a big laugh because he kind of screwed the toast up. So that really loosens up the room, and you're rooting for the guy. And then at the end, which caught me completely by surprise, he looks at my mom, who I'm sitting next to, and he says, and you know, I was talking with Mary, and I never got a chance to meet Mary's husband, Bill, Jess's grandfather. And, you know, and as soon as he starts with that, you know, I get the lower lip that's just doing the little thing. And I look around the table, and everybody's dabbing the eyes. And he said, but they said that, you know, they were so in love with each other, and I wish he could be here. And I'm just sitting there going, yeah, it's been a long trip, right? It was a long trip for us on Friday to get wherever we had to go and to end up there. And so I start with that.
Had you had a few?
Yeah. Uh-huh. But maybe one.
Okay, hold on. Maybe.
Oh, no, I'm lying.
One bottle.
I'm lying. No, one or two or three.
A few.
Hey, listen. Listen to me seriously. I really behaved myself this weekend. I really did behave myself this weekend. I was very, very good about not being, because this is my sister's family, and you know, I've had moments before.
I know you have.
Because they're the perfect family that I've done the thing where it's just like, yeah, I realize I don't keep my marriages going very long. and besides, I have my kids there. I have my daughters there. So it was really, as far as I was concerned, both nights I was kind of one of the earliest ones to pack it. I am Uncle Buck. I am Uncle Buck. No, you know, in my case, I'm my Uncle Bill Sheehan. I really am my Uncle Bill Sheehan.
You know who's Uncle Buck, really? The old NFL films stuff of John Madden when he coached the Raiders.
Yes, Uncle Buck with the short sleeve white
like
button-down Denny's manager shirts that he has.
You want to know what John Candy would look like if he had lived?
Right.
Yep. Check out Monday Night Football sometime. Yep. Or Sunday Night Football, whatever it is now.
Well, whatever uncle I am, it's just I set the tone.
You're Uncle Mike.
And I didn't have anything to say, you know, at the rehearsal dinner. A lot of people walked up. The father of the groom.
You didn't ape for anybody?
I didn't ape, no.
You didn't do your Gorshin?
One-on-one.
Do that thing where you turn around and then one... Then
like, must my hair up and turn around and do the impression? I didn't do that. The father of the groom, who, man, could not be nicer. I mean, I didn't know any of these people really well, but everybody really just got along. It was one of those wedding weekends, and he walks up to me, and he says, listen, I hear you're on the radio, and you do public speaking all the time. I'm wondering if you could give me any advice. I'm really not good at this kind of thing, and I know I have to give the big toast. Is there anything that I get? And I said, you know what, really... It's been my experience at these type of functions that brevity is the key to everything. That if you keep it brief, you're going to be fine. Well, I realized I had no idea that I was telling him the worst thing I could have told him. Oh, he's got these notes that are this thick for his little toast. And he was nervous, but I know he was thinking about what I said to him. But he did a fine job. And then he mentions his grandmother, his father and mother, who had both passed away, I guess a short time ago.
Right.
And this time the whole room, because it's so kind of emotional, for whatever reason, everybody's getting a little, you know, losing it a little bit. And by that time, I'd had a little more wine with dinner. And it was that. But that was it at the rehearsal dinner. Everything was fine.
All right, no more crying then.
So we're at the pool on Saturday morning, getting ready. The wedding's not until 3:00 on Saturday.
I didn't wake up at the pool.
I was home by 11:30 on Friday night, and it went much later. A lot of people came in at like 2:00 in the morning on Friday night. This is the night before the wedding.
Good for you, Will.
The wedding comes.
Little power. Last name Power. First name Will.
I have the kids. We get up early. And we're hanging out with the kids at the pool.
Yeah, I like that because you do have the discipline.
Yeah,
I have the kids.
I have the kids. I'm very
otherwise,
good. Otherwise, I would have been serious. It would have been like
old school.
F me, well, F you. I don't care about this wedding. I don't care at all.
No. So this is two times on Friday night. Then the wedding comes on Saturday. I've got my daughters who are the greeters at the church. They're handing out the little brochure they give you, the little menu.
Get them set for their future at Walmart.
Yeah. And they're sitting there and they hand out the thing. And they look great. And I see them at the church one night because I have to drop them off and then go back and pick Carl up. And in the meantime, get the car decorated because that's my job. I'm going to be the one. So we're tying the beer cans to the back of the car, and we're getting shaving cream to write "Just Married" on the back of it because I've never done this before. So I immediately delegate it to one of the younger men. So I take my nephew's best friend and I go, "Mr. Malatafi, you are taking the job." And he kind of looks at me wide eyed and says, "What do you mean?" I said, "Listen, got to take my kids up to be the greeters. Got to come back pick Carl up. I'm going to have like 10-15 minutes." You're the man to get all the stuff. So he gets all the stuff. We decorate the car. This is in Bar Harbor, Maine. This is where all this is all happening. Right. And it is packed with people. It's very, very crowded. Mm-hmm. We go up and I see my daughters in the church, and as the doors open, and I see them standing there, and I just get just a tiny one this time. Just to see them there, they look so beautiful. They're so dressed up for this thing. They just look like little angels. Everybody's been telling me, all right? Then we get to the service. I think I'm going to be fine. This is my niece.
Sure.
This is my niece. These aren't my daughters.
No.
I love my niece. It's my only niece. But she comes down the aisle and they start playing the music. And she starts making her way down the aisle. And I look at her and I'm fine because she's a beautiful bride. She looks over. Then my mom is sitting right in front of me with my sister. And I turn around and they both turned around. And I see them and they both have the tears streaming down their face. And that's
they're allowed their girls.
That's their... That's when my lower lip starts to quiver. Just a little bit. So this, if you're counting and keeping track,
that's three.
This is three times. The wedding is done. The minister gets up and makes this really unbelievable homily to their wedding that I don't, you know, normally it's a minister, it's at one of these services, it's on, done, bam, and it was brief, but he says things about, you know, the grandparents and stuff, and I'm sitting there, and I look, and everybody, for whatever reason, this is an extraordinarily emotional deal, and I think
his wedding is cursed. Everybody crying at this
something's
wedding
here.
It would not be a good sign.
I didn't want to say this at the wedding, and I wouldn't say this to their faces, but I do want to say it. I'll share it with you guys now. It just concerned me. It just I am a big believer in the tradition that the bride and groom, you know, the day of the service.
She wasn't wearing white, Mike?
No, they shouldn't see each other.
Right.
They were like four. They saw each other at breakfast, the workout room. They saw each other by the pool. Is that tradition?
That's the tradition.
Out the window now?
Yeah,
I mean, have they thrown that away?
Certainly wasn't.
I didn't want to say, you know, I'm not going to yell across the pool, especially with my track record, you know. I saw none of my brides on the wedding.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Worked out pretty good
never
for you.
Certainly did. The lucky stick. But, you know, so we get finally, thank God, you know, the car comes off without a hitch. I take them through the streets of Bar Harbor, and, you know, I do it the way I do things. You know, I'm going to make a big deal. I take a left turn instead of a right, and I go, and I'm hitting the horn. And you got all the Tourons in Bar Harbor that are sitting there just going, hey. I get trucks to pull over for me and stuff as we're going through. And I got them a bottle of bubbly that I bought at the wine store, the local wine store, and I got two glasses back there, and they pop it. So I did my job. One job was to be the the keeper of the car and to ferry them down to the wedding reception and at this point it's time for the reception, and now I'm seeing all my cousins that I haven't seen. I'm seeing friends that I haven't seen for years. It's a very, very good thing, and the day becomes festive. You know, my kids are at the kids table at the wedding reception.
All right, so now
everything is and well, listen, we're O'Maras. All right. I mean, the fact is, you know, if you want to go to the Mormon wedding reception, if you want to go to the reception with now, I know this is a partially
Mormon second beer.
Stop it now.
Because my brother-in-law's like, and they're there too, but they don't, you know, they don't even know how to handle O'Maras. O'Maras at a wedding, it is seriously. And we're talking generations. We're talking my cousins' kids, you know, and the big boys, you know, that are now 22, 23, 24 years old,
right.
And they're all, you just see us, I swear to God, first 10 minutes of this reception, the O'Mara contingent is right there. And we're literally supporting this bar, and it comes time for the toast. And I'm going to make this very brief right now. I'm going to tell you what happened, okay?
Okay.
Paul, you know, God love him. He was best man at my second wedding. And he makes
the toast.
He makes the toast, and he works my father into it. I'm losing it. I mean, you know, I start to really lose it. Right? The first dance. My 86-year-old mother, you know, who's slowing down. She's not moving as fast as she used to. I get her up. I start to do the dance with her. I lose it. I lose it. And she's losing it, and I'm losing it. And then I think, really, at that point, I just...
What did you, did she just say as you were dancing?
She said, no, she whispered in my ear. Let me tell you what she said.
I'm so embarrassed. You're such a pussy. Please keep your emotions intact, Mike.
Were you there? How the hell did you know? How did you know she said that?
Michael, do you have your pills?
She did. Had to eat one over the weekend.
Yeah.
I would think. No, after it was all over. When I got to the airport yesterday, I was coming up the stairs and had one of my little moments, and you know, it was a little too much evening the night before. But, you know, two or three times the toasts are made and everybody's looking great. Then the next morning, it was my job to host a little brunch for everybody that was there for the weekend and to before we shoved off. And this is the time that I'm supposed to speak. This is the time when I'm going to now. I had a little too much evening on Saturday, and you know, we left once again. We were probably one of the first to leave, but the reception started at say 4 or 5 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
And you know, this is 11 o'clock when things wrap up after we cut a rug and done anything. And it was my turn to host the brunch the day after, and I had to get up at 8 o'clock to clean the car off, and then I had to go in and get stuff to clean the car off, find a hose somewhere at this hotel where I could hose down the car.
Find a hoe.
Then get my,
hose. I thought you said find a hoe.
No, not in Bar Harbor.
Hotel.
Of course not. They don't have them there. They have whale watching trips. But what they do is...
Wink.
I wake everybody up, and by 9:15 or so, everybody's there. And at this point, I have to make my little speech welcoming everybody and say, hey, it's been such a great weekend.
Hey, I bet your breath smelled really good.
I brushed and flossed.
Sometimes.
But you know, really.
Brush enough. Did you brush your tongue?
I did. I brushed my tongue, but I did not. Unfortunately, you know, something had to be sacrificed, and showering was not in the cards. I just didn't have time to do it. Just couldn't shower.
You mean between the reception?
Between the reception.
On Friday, on Saturday night?
I was shower free.
Yeah. Oh,
I was a little.
Whoa!
I washed my face though. I did wash my face, and the hotel room had a bidet, so I washed that too. So I did do
homo.
That. So I have to make the speech, and this I did to myself. And nothing makes me more ill at ease or really feel a little angry sometimes is somebody that loses it with a toast. Okay. Now my father's ashes are scattered in this body of water that this hotel is next to, and we're having this little breakfast. It's a beautiful morning, and it's fantastic. And all I'm going to say, this is all I should have said. I want to say, what a beautiful couple. Want to thank the bride's parents, the groom's parents, for having us. I'm delighted to host this brunch with Paul's sisters. To say thank you to everybody for coming from such a long distance. There, that's what I should have. I should have sat down. I said, you know, my father's buried out there in Frenchman's Bay. That's where we scattered his ashes. And I just want to say, I didn't lose it completely, but I just want to say, and like an idiot, because we've done all the toasts and ice before, I'd like to say, I'd like to raise a glass to William Joseph O'Mara, who's out there, and if he was here, he'd be having the best time of all of us. Thank you very much. And it's one of those deals where people come over and give you the shoulder pat because you're just such a... And this is at 9:30 in the morning. And my mother... And here's what my mom says. Wait, hold on. Let me just finish this.
Are you all right?
This is exactly... My mom just says to me... She says, I want to make sure that I get this
just right.
Exactly right.
I'm disappointed in you?
No.
After your throat.
No.
Your check bounced?
Something along the lines of really is like, I thought she was going to say that was such a wonderful tribute to your father. I'm so appreciative of that. No, it was something along these. And this is my life right here. She said, oh, you did have a little bit to drink last night. Thank you, Mommy. Thanks, Mother. But it was, all in all, a very emotional weekend. Because,
yeah, sounds like it.
You know, you got people coming from as far as, you know, California. Oregon and destination wedding. Going back to destination wedding. It was just a good time. And then we left, headed down the coast, and before I got on the plane on Sunday, we were able to go to the Lobster Festival. You know, I like a good carnival with my kids. They were able to go on the Ferris wheel, you know. And I said to her, yes, Rob, I said after that, I said, but Mom, we're O'Mara's. It's expected. Oh, and Kathy says to me, I said, man, that's like the 12th time this weekend I've lost it. I said, I am so unaccustomed to doing this when I speak in front of a group of people. And she said, well, we're getting old.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
All right, Mike. A great, great time. A good time was sad by all. And, you know, but I'm not going to be able to, if this is my niece's wedding, by the time my daughters are doing this, I'm not going to be functional.
No, you've got past it.
And when you're father of the bride, you got to get up and, you know, make all these little speeches.
You'd be medicated, you know. Mm-hmm.
You'd be medicated until I got to the airport.
By the time your daughters get married, you'll be wheelchair bound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't have to worry about walking down the aisle. If somebody push you. If nothing else, just for laziness.
And very briefly, at the airport, when I got there, they singled me out at the airport because they misspelled my name. And the lady at the counter said, we're going to have to make a very special security deal for you. This may take up to a half an hour.
Do what I do.
I said, why? I said, because they misspelled your name.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what do you mean? Well, it shouldn't take more than 30 minutes. And then I went through that.
Yeah. 30 minutes of being fingered.
It was, you know, but the guy was so gentle.
See, you took it a bad way. I meant fingered like, no, that's the guy I know from the radio. That's him. You thought.
Oh, you think I took it a bad way, huh?
Yeah.
No, I took it the right way.
Gotcha.
I was spot on. Don't make me cry now.
Have you showered?
Don't you go making me. No.
Still not?
No, I made a choice. I washed my face twice during the day. I'm not as oily as I used to be, Rob.
That's a boot. It worked out the fine.
Soaked through your skin.
I was fine. I was fine. Don't make me emotional. It's been an emotional week.
All right. Hold on a second.
Christ. I'm okay. But hey, listen.
Now you know what? Now
I'm okay.
I feel better about my weekend now.
I would think so.
At least I was a man. Mm-hmm. At least I threatened some guy with physical violence. At least I had a temper tantrum at my golf club.
You see, that's the thing I couldn't do, though. That's because they look for that from me, too. They look for that threat.
What, tamper?
Yeah.
Temper tamper?
They look for me to have that moment of losing it. Believe me. Threat-wise. All their eyes. I'm not paranoid or anything, but I know they're all waiting for me to do that.
I've talked to the O'Maras. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they all say. All the O'Maras.
I'm going to remind you of it every single minute of every day and night.
Shut up!
I'm so sorry.
Oh, I'm actually glad it's over.
I would think.
You know, but it was a beautiful, beautiful time, good time, had by all. It really was.
And
Godspeed, bon voyage, whatever you say, Bill and Jessica, many, many years, please. I wish you so much more success than I've managed to have in my life.
Good luck, hope you'll beat the odds.
I don't offer any advice on that, that's for sure. No. What am I going to say? How romantic is it when I say, you know, I know a good lawyer who can give you a prenup? That's not fun. No.
Did you?
No.
Then you're not doing your duty.
I know, I should.
You're not doing your duty, Mike.
He ain't blood. Okay?
Right.
He ain't blood. Now, when my nephew go, you know, you better believe I'm sitting down with him for 3 hours.
Let me tell you about women, son. Yeah.
Absolutely. He'll get
Let
the story.
Let me tell you.
He will. He'll start getting that when he turns 21 next year. I'm going to tell him everything about it.
Let me start now.
Be careful.
Okay, we got to
Let me tell you about the enemy.
Be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, give me a C.
C.
Give me a U.
U.
Give me an N.
N.
That spells Leah. Leah.
Leah.
All right, so now we're going to the outside. This is where we sit and hang. We have these nice pieces here, and of course, this is the way it is all the time. Perfect lemons. Are these even real? These ain't even real. You gave me fake lemons, Melinda, up here? How much are lemons? You couldn't get real lemons?
They kept dying, and they got all nasty looking, so I put the fake ones.
I don't know, they were fake.
Yeah. There she is.
Ah, Leah.
The Don and Mike Show.
Ah, the lemons.
Ah, the lemons.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Well, hello.
Well, hello.
Another beer?
What was that, Judge?
How about a tea guy?
Sit.
stuff popping with the Don and Mike Show.
Are you sure you want me to do this?
Yeah. Pop my zit. Do it right now.
Your guess is as good as mine.
All right, I don't know what he's talking about.
Holy Christmas.
All I know is hello.
Well, hello.
Hello there, and
sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
But there's no stench like rustling a few cows.
Right.
Well, hello.
Hello.
Young Duke.
How great it was. Give me a moment to preach to the choir. The choir, as I like to call them, the choir of idiots.
La, la.
Rob, where is that, like, organ music? Not our soap opera music that we need in a second.
Right.
Now, if you got to look for it, never mind. I'll do it without the music. To those who like myself, oh, don't bother.
I have nothing to say.
No. You know what? There you go.
All right.
There you go, Kong.
Kong, the eighth wonder of the world.
Just sit down in your ape chair for a second. This would be a very brief, brief prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for bringing it back. Damn you for taking it away.
But now, wait a minute. What kind of prayer is that? You don't put that in a prayer. It's not going to work if you put that in a prayer. You can't say damn you in a prayer.
He gets it.
You just say...
He gets jokes. He's the J-man.
All right.
He gets jokes.
Well, you probably still have your footfall. I mean, I didn't mean to tip your hand. Sorry.
No, I didn't want that music, Rob.
I thought you might eventually get
No. I mean, if you're really going to waste time and screw up the computer, find the thing that I told you not to find.
All right.
Don't find it.
It's honest of a Kong.
Stop it.
Hear of Kong?
I really feel you and I are hitting a groove.
How you liking Rockville?
It's good.
Good. All right, great.
The segment on the Don and Mike Show is brought to you by Ford. Every day, somewhere, somewhere, someone, somewhere makes a bold move.
Some win, some lose.
There's a car company for people like that. It's Ford.
Everybody.
I think, as I mentioned before, Jesus drives a Ford.
That's hey, right. How about that? Now, is that an endorsement? Or wow.
So thank you, Jesus, for bringing football back. And for those idiots like myself who will now watch third stringers play on Thursday nights, on Saturday nights, on Friday nights, on Sunday nights, on Monday nights, on Wednesday nights, let's rejoice in what is the happiest time of the year. This is when the NFL gives us more than we can handle. There are games on virtually every night of the week. And, of course, the Madden game comes out in only 2 weeks.
Wow. That's the toy game.
Right. Yes, that's right, Crybaby. It's the toy game.
It's the toy. Well, I mean, it's real football.
It's a toy.
It's a toy.
It's a I want to tell you something. If
it's
I was
a child's a toy. Along with the real football action, it's a child's toy.
Mike, if I was not the DP, the dedicated professional that I am, I'd be calling in sick on August 22nd. I've already worked out for my copy from EA Sports to arrive. I don't have to wait in line. I could be one of those guys that calls in sick and just plays the game all day.
Are you getting it delivered to your home, or do you have to go to the toy store?
No,
to get it?
No. Shut up. Hey, let me just mention something.
Yes.
I want to say, you know who really would have liked Madden?
Who?
And the Madden game? Your dad.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, thanks a lot.
It's impossible.
It's impossible to get emotional in this environment. I think I may have once in 20 years.
I could make you cry.
I know you could.
I mean, and not hurtful.
But you tried one time.
And not hurtful.
You tried one time.
I would have to catch you sometime off guard.
Yeah.
When you didn't know.
Yeah, I know. You know, you'd have to really know. You'd have to know exactly where I am at all times to be able to do that successfully.
Well, hello there.
You'd have to really know, like, you know, when I had a real night. And then if you hit me like right out of
like
the
you
blue.
Think I don't know already?
Yeah, right.
No, a lot of times I don't.
I know.
A lot of times I don't. When I don't know when you're really when you come in really dog ass tired, yeah, like hungover and everything.
Exactly. That would help. That would help the you know. When did you do that? You did that one time, I think. It
when
was
the
on
Red
some,
Sox won.
When the Red Sox won.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You didn't do it then. You didn't do it then.
I'm not. Right. Anyway, thank you, God, for bringing football back. Right. I feel my life is complete. I know there are lots of guys like myself who feel the same way. And John.
Norman.
Yanni.
Hello.
Would you please get off your
skinny. I can eat whatever I want to ask and get our fantasy league together.
I was on the site today. I am expecting an email from them to confirm my password. It will be done tomorrow, hopefully.
Okay, beautiful. And then we got to get our draft together.
Got it.
And any news on my Tad? Buzz, you talked to your Tad guy?
Not yet. I have the name of the place, and we're making calls right now.
Because right now it's down to either Tit or Tad.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So we're not going to have a keeper league, though, right? Is that it?
We voted on that.
So we're not. So it's a no keeper
league. Yeah, again, it's a faggot start from ground zero league. Mm-hmm. So what we should probably do for those of us, I can only give two people, like myself and John Allville.
Mm-hmm.
For those of us that will be doing mock drafts, it would be nice to know. Shut up, Kong.
What time is Johnny coming?
It would be nice to know the draft position.
Be a heck of a night.
Yeah.
For the mock draft.
Our league is going to be...
You're a mock producer.
That's true.
Are we going to have the draft on the air like
yes,
the
we
always have it?
You bet.
All right. You know what?
Drinky.
And I want somebody else to do it this year.
Do what?
I want somebody else to...
Be the bartender?
Yeah. Yeah, I do it every year.
How about you, Colin?
I can handle
that. Can you handle it this year?
Of course.
You can handle that.
I mean, I don't want... And believe me, if you know, here's something you should know. If you had said, I would, but I'm kind of tied up. I'll probably do it anyway.
Well, you'll probably bring a bottle like you do every day.
Well, listen, let's just get the draft order. Do that thing where you put everybody's name in a hat.
You want to do it right now?
No, I don't want to do it right now, but okay. But at some point this week. Okay.
So when will the draft be? next week sometime, perhaps? Are we going to do it next week?
I thought that last year we waited until it got closer to the season.
Did we?
Well, yes, we did, because remember, weren't people pissed like when Michael Vick got hurt in the first week of preseason and we had our draft already?
That is true.
Screwed.
If we wait till towards the end of preseason, I think it's a better idea.
Are you buying the magazine this year or am I?
I will buy the magazine this year.
Okay, very good.
And I will provide it to you as well. I'll buy a couple for me and a couple for you.
That'd be nice. Thank you.
Very good.
All right, Doug and Shane, guys. Anyway, great to have football back on. That NBC picture last night in high def. Really? You can tell sometimes if you like me and kind of married to your TV and you watch different high def stuff on Fox as opposed to CBS. You can tell when Fox is using their less than 100% cameras.
Because I think anybody that really is a connoisseur and sits 2 inches away from the television, you can tell there's good and there's bad. And, you know, especially I think a night game when it gets dark. I mean, I'm not, you know, at 8 o'clock or whatever.
But watching last night, Christ, looking at John Madden's face in high definition.
Speaking of that, did you see the shot of the moon where you could actually see the craters on the moon?
Yeah. John Madden's moon?
No, that was a half
moon. Craters on it, too.
Anyway, great to have football back, and it all starts this week, and I'm goddamn excited
about it. It's already started, right?
Well, it really starts this week.
You always diminish that first game a little bit. It's not the game that...
Well, here's why. Because while they're playing the game, they're interviewing people.
Okay.
And, like... guys are being tackled, interceptions are being thrown, and you're listening to Harry Carson, you know, talk about why he's so thrilled to be in the Hall of Fame.
When do we get to see Tony Kornheiser first? I want to see that.
I think next Monday night.
Next Monday night?
Is the debut.
Don't want to build him up, but I've heard some pretty good things about the way they're doing in the booth with their practice broadcast, so I look forward to seeing that.
Oh, and last night on NBC also. You know who their chick reporter is?
Ooh.
Andrea Kramer. From ESPN.
Really?
And I know you guys all thought she was a dog. I kind of think she's a dog, too, but I like her.
I never thought she was.
She's a very nice woman. She had dinner with me one night at the Super Bowl. Nothing like, you know, giving her some of the old, you know what I'm saying.
Right. You wanted to, though, I think.
Oh, badly.
Yeah, of course. Yes, I wanted to bang her bad.
You were stalking her, as I recall.
Kind of.
You could see her from your hotel room.
Yes, anyway.
Who's better looking, Andrea Kramer? Or Kramer. She's interesting looking.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, they fixed her up.
Did they really?
They put her on NBC, and it's like somebody said, we're going to give you one of those Today Show makeovers.
Right.
Look pretty good.
You know, Bonnie Bernstein made the switch from CBS over to ESPN.
Right.
And she looks stunning.
Non-dairy creamer. That's what I want from Andrea Kramer. And
what did they do to make her look? Is her hair longer?
They just fixed her up. They painted her up real good.
Oh, really?
And this bag.
She got a very quick wit.
And I got to be careful with this because I heard a bunch of rumors about Double B, who's been on the show before.
Yeah, I know.
About Bonnie Bernstein.
Yeah, because you shared them with me in private.
But we're not supposed to say anything, right?
Well, no, I'm not talking about the work stuff.
You're talking about this, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about, well, did she might play with the other team.
Oh, no, you didn't say that to me.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
BB?
Yes.
Somehow even more.
Oh, see, that flies against all the rumors I've heard.
Okay.
I've heard that she likes sports and athletes.
I heard that she likes sports and that she likes athletes and that she likes chick athletes.
Well, she's a bi-coastal reporter.
Where did you hear that about her?
Oh, my God.
Rumor. Because, I mean, it's kind of turning me on either way. You know, either way, it doesn't matter.
New York Times?
Really?
You think? Front page.
Oh, I remember.
Front page story.
It was one of those deals where they don't actually take the picture of the person. They just draw the picture.
Right. I love that.
And it was Bonnie Bernstein.
There's something about Bonnie. Maybe it's because that one day she came in and she was wearing like a blue running suit that she had on that just looked so good.
Yeah, but she's such a piece of ass and she knows it. And anyway, who knows? More power to her.
Right.
I heard that she, she's... And at the very least, playing in both the American and the National League.
Very interesting.
That's what I heard about.
Okay.
Anyway, shout out a holla, as you kids say, to my bitch, Andrea Kramer. How you doing, honey?
Got to get her on the show this year.
How you doing, baby? Yeah, Kong, why don't you make that happen?
Kong, the eighth wonder of the world!
As soon as she gets out of the chair.
The chair?
Yeah, the makeup chair. She's very busy.
Because the truth is, really. Hold on a second. Hello,
she's
there.
Gotten better looking.
Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don, Mike. Good afternoon.
Howdy. Hold on, let me ask you something. What's your name, my friend?
Alan.
Alan, did you watch the game last night?
I didn't, but I'll tell you what I did do is, you watched the game, obviously, right?
Of course, naked.
Okay. Right. You remember, I think it was towards the end of the first half, wide receiver goes across the middle, ball gets thrown to him, two guys converge on him, just paste him, and he goes out.
Hey,
starts
dude,
to get up, goes down on one knee. Do you remember
dude,
that
dude, hold on, it's not sports radio. Did you happen to see Andrea Kramer?
No, but I was driving that guy's girlfriend. I'm a chauffeur. I was driving that guy's girlfriend at the time that happened. We were listening to the game on the radio.
So you're a chauffeur, and one of the players that got hurt, you were driving his girlfriend.
One of the guys,
right.
One of the guys on the Raiders?
Yeah.
Ooh, so
that's correct.
So what did she say?
She was pretty freaked out. She
sure.
Yep. She said she hates football, and she was, she was a girl whose boyfriend got hurt playing a game,
You had to console her. Was he badly hurt, or did he?
No, I think he bit his tongue, I believe.
Hold on, I remember that. They were...
Okay, you do remember
that. Hold on a second. You know, this guy really, unless he's a guy that just watched the game.
Right.
I do recall that, and it seemed to me like that they were, talking about it being ironic, they were biting their tongues not to make jokes. To say, hey, that one guy got hit and knocked out pretty good, but how about that other guy who bit his tongue?
Did they shoot him?
No.
Did he have a bloody mouth and all
they
that?
They showed nothing, but they mentioned, and I thought, what if he's like Dennis? What if the guy like really
bit off
half of his tongue?
Oh, they really kind of played the dice.
So you're saying, hold on, where's the fireworks, Rob?
Oh, got it.
Get those ready. So you're saying that you were driving the girlfriend of the guy with the Raiders last night?
Right. Rookie just got drafted out of University of Maine this year.
That bit his
University
tongue.
Of Maine?
Yeah, believe it or not. He was Mr. Irrelevant. He was the last guy drafted in the NFL draft.
You know, I believe this
Johnny,
guy.
You're shaking your head saying no, right?
Hold on. No.
It's BS?
This guy sounds like he's on
John.
The
University of Maryland.
Oh, University of Maryland.
Wrong. University of Maine, Orno.
Well, hey, if you know it's Orno, then that's the University of Maine.
Yeah, it is.
I didn't think they had any football players that came from the University of Maine.
Yanni?
Back to my hole.
All right, bye, Yanni.
Anyway,
then let the explosions begin. Oh, wait a minute. We need a countdown. Are you ready? 10, 9.
Here's what the guy sounds like now.
7, 6.
The guy for the Raiders.
Who bit his tongue. You'll hear him because he likes fireworks.
Just a moment. Here he is now. Listen to him. This rookie.
Well, hello.
Thankfully, he will be okay. Yeah, but he almost bit his tongue off last night at the Raiders game.
Ouch.
All right. So what does the girlfriend, what does she say while this is happening?
She's talking on the phone with her mother and then with a friend of hers who is out in California where this guy lives, and they're sort of giving her updates.
I just want to say I'd like to salute all limo drivers like this guy. It's always very, very nice. Always nice. Be careful. You know, put the screen up when you're in the car.
Don't.
You never know.
No. Actually, she was really cool. She was really nice. We had a nice talk on the way back.
Oh, she's cool and nice, but was she a piece of ass?
Absolutely.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. There you go. All right. Thank you, my friend.
You bet.
Thanks for the call.
There you go. Northern California call.
Oh, come on, Mike. That guy was good. I believe he was on the level.
Helpful call.
And I believe it would be, and I did remember the part of the game.
He was violating the Hippocratic Oath that limo drivers are supposed to take. The Limocratic Oath. That's right. Thou shalt not tell anyone that someone puked in the limo.
Now that I'm thinking about Andrea Kramer, I remember exactly how it happened. That
you should see her on the back of a limo.
We were in New Orleans for the Super Bowl that year,
right.
And we had been there like for 2 days, and she'd come on the show, and we would walk around and see her, and...
Didn't you see her from, like, a balcony or something?
No, here's...
Didn't we have one of those atrium deals?
Yes.
Or you had it, and I didn't, I had another room?
Because I had a smoking room, so...
But you were more of a football fan, and I knew you wanted to be at the thing, and we were all at the other hotel.
Yeah, so I was at the NFL hotel.
The NFL where, like, everybody mills around and all the reporters are there.
Right, everybody else was staying in a nice, swanky hotel. I like being where you go downstairs and you see, like, that big load Chris Berman just walking around. You see the scalpers.
Don Crickey.
So I was up in my room having a cigar and looked across the courtyard. And
there she was dressing.
There she was. So
you looked across the courtyard, like down below, and you saw her walking across, didn't you?
Yeah. No, I didn't. I saw her on her balcony.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, on her balcony. And what I did was I called down to the front desk, and I said, Andrea Kramer's room, please. And they put me right through. And I remember we talked about it. I think we had her on the air afterwards where I said, you know,
hello,
I picked up the phone. I said, I know this is creepy, but I can see you.
I thought you
I'm looking at you.
I thought you could see the ESPN set from your hotel.
That was it.
We've been to so many of these things.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep them all.
You called
Andrea Kramer and had, like, a drink with her.
Yes, why dinner? Well... Yeah, to call it dinner would be an insult to dinner. It was crackers and wine.
Mm-hmm. And she was very cool. She's always been very cool
right.
on the show.
I could. That's what it was. I could see the set from my room, and I saw when she left the set. And
that was the creepy angle.
And I called down to the front desk, and I said, can you put me through to her room? And I said, hey, I could see you from where I was at. We had a good time. I'm happily married. I swear to God, I know you're happily married. Do you want to just have a drink?
Mm-hmm.
So she said, sure.
The thing that's crazy about that is the next year I did the exact same thing with Ron Jaworski. I saw Joe.
It ended differently.
But the only difference was Dom went down to, like, the hotel bar. I went directly to Jaws' room.
Door was open.
There she was last night on TV. Looking better. Looking better than she did on ESPN.
You know,
since
we're on the subject of football, so many wonderful, wonderful Super Bowl stories come to mind. Mm-hmm. Like the time I went up to Matt Elliott's room and he hadn't changed yet. Former lineman for the Washington Redskins.
Another Mr. Irrelevant.
That's a treat. And how nervous. I nervously sat in the chair while he walked around in his yellow boxers. And I really felt that I may be, you know, at any moment...
Violated?
He
wore the yellow ones with you, too?
Yes, he did.
The Predator.
I went down, we were going to go... We were going to the commissioner's party.
Hold on,
and I called Matt down in the lobby. I said, hey, I'm down here, man. Got the tickets. When she goes, oh, why don't you come up? And I'm like, oh.
You're the loser on that.
All right.
Because, Buzz?
Yes?
What did Matt Elliott, former NFL star... say to you at a party one time.
We were at
it. It was not at a party. It was at the Don and Mike Bowl.
No,
it was at the softball.
It was
game.
At the after party.
Yeah,
though.
At a bar. Okay. After
it was at the after party.
Crowded. People were festive. People were drinking. And Matt leans over to me amid the noise at one point and says, "I can make you bleed."
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go.
I don't know. I don't know what that meant.
Mm. Very strange.
We knew.
Do you still keep in contact with him, Rob?
Once in a while. Maybe not tonight.
Hey, be honest. Rob's told me he's ducked calls.
I have. There are times when I have ducked calls, yes.
Is he in any kind of football-related business anymore?
I think he's selling prosthetic limbs. He's in the medical and some sort of strap-on something. I don't know. The happily married Matt Elliott.
Wow. While they're releasing one.
Let the explosions begin.
Prosthetic limbs.
Oh, wait a minute. We need a countdown. Are you ready? 10, 9.
You set off the prosthetic prosthetic limbs alarm.
That's it.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Here he is now. Promoting his new cologne, Jeter. Derek Jeter. I mentioned Derek Jeter, except that's something I've wanted to mention to you since I read that last week. But he's coming out with his cologne.
F him. Congratulations, being 2 games in front in first place. It finally happened.
Smells like first place. Yeah,
just like the last 9 years.
Jeter cologne.
Stop your belly aching. You guys won the World Series, didn't you?
Right. Yeah, but it's another season.
Okay, all right
another
then.
Season.
Okay, enough.
I want to win the division.
Stop
now.
It. All hey, right. Buzz?
Yes.
He could make you bleed.
That's what I heard, yes.
And what else did he... Didn't he also tussle your hair?
Probably, but I don't remember that. I only remember the part about bleeding.
Those are comments made in a public room people around, okay?
Could have been kidding.
It's not like when you say, I'm down here, I got the tickets, come on down. Why don't you come up to the room?
And that's... You want to know terror?
Yeah.
That might have been my first Hispanic attack.
What about when he was running around naked like Batman?
He's done that. That was more with Jimmy the intern.
Didn't he used to force you to do things?
Like what?
You know, like, didn't you have to, like, go to his house and stuff? You and Stimpy used to have to go to his house.
The
and
only
force
time
you to, like,
that he really bothered me was at a Super Bowl when he wouldn't let me leave a wine tasting. And it got to be, like, 3 in the morning, and I had to go because I was done. I was full.
So he physically made you stay?
No, but he chased me in the lobby, and he screamed bad things at me across the hotel lobby. Uh-huh. And I woke up to the worst hangover I've ever had in my life.
Sure.
Yeah, I had to leave the lights off.
So if it was the worst hangover you've had, that would indicate maybe you didn't remember everything.
Things could have happened. You'd forgotten or blacked out.
They had to throw the sheets away. I know that.
Blocked out the memory.
Laundering. There was no laundering those sheets.
Hey, come on. Listen, we love Matt Elliott.
Yeah.
We thought for the longest time he was half a fag.
He's probably...
There, I've said it.
There.
Okay? There, I've said it.
I think we've probably indicated that to him when he's been around.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's still scary.
Hearing Bonnie
though.
Bernstein's half a fag.
He's still scary. She's not scary, though.
No,
not at all. She can be anything she wants.
Andrea Kramer, 100% functional woman. Hetero.
Absolutely.
Everything there. All the original parts.
Oh,
very low mileage. And remember, fellas, the motto at Donnie's, you don't have to face. Don't forget our 4 F's. Customer satisfaction. Find them, feel them, F them, forget them. Everything now from junior high is coming back.
Welcome to Donnie.
Did you baller? Boy, I'd like to ball that chip.
It's a payment after you excavate through that foundation makeup.
We will be
number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
There are a couple of things going on around town we want you to know about. Oh, Don and Mike, is this true?
2 favorite radio guys. I know you're a big fan of this.
I am.
In the afternoon at 4 o'clock today, right out in front of their studios in Fairfax, they're going to dip themselves into 500 pounds of soaking wet hot chocolate. They're going to come out, they're going to dry, and then they invite the general public to come, as they say, to bite off pieces of them.
Yes, you can. Now, I thought about this. I mean, because I do like them very much, but they don't... they just strike me as kind of... I've never seen them, but they sound kind of maybe scruffy. But they're going to wrap themselves in plastic first.
They're both very attractive men.
I already announced that I'm gay.
Anyway,
so you can do that.
Whatever. Anyway.
Right.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Of course we are.
Duh.
Right.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
One never knows what a homosexual is about.
Yeah.
Especially if you're listening to the Don and Mike Show.
Right.
It's such a shame.
Oh, I hate to stop that jam. But I gotta share another
jam. It's just out.
Yeah. This was rocking it.
That's a champagne jam.
That is a shame. That's rocking.
Gonna have us a champagne jam.
Ooh.
Ooh, Lord, you're going to need some spray.
I got it.
Lord.
Bring the orange spray over here, Rob.
Oh, Lord.
Rob.
Lord.
Mm. Hey, Don.
Ate me a lot of greens this weekend.
Don, this is Bill Walton. What kind of deal is that? Why are you doing that? Why are you making those kind of smells? Hey, man, foul. I cry foul on you.
I do it because we can.
That comes from me, Bill Walton.
Let me see. Still to come,
yes.
I hope on today's show, Wheel of People, including the triumphant return of my brother.
Very good.
Great. This portion of our show on Westwood One brought to you by eSurance.com, instant online car insurance. We have another big, not quite Las Vegas-style show coming up in the month of August, which today's the 7th already. That'll be coming up. We'll have the information for you about that.
Okay.
And that's where we say thank you for listening to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for admitting to the ratings company that you listen to the show. And thanks for giving the show traction.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when we were up in New York with the Window Lickers, it was very nice to have some good ratings from around the country.
Yeah. But they said, we want more.
Yes.
We want more.
So all we ask is that you listen harder.
Right.
We're trying very hard not to suck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are.
We're trying. How about that for an endorsement?
Well, we make that effort every day, I think. We come in here and we try not to suck.
We're trying really hard not to suck,
mm-hmm.
and we're asking you to listen harder.
Right.
And right here in D.C., which is really what everybody looks at, because we've been in D.C. together, Mike and I, for over 20 years.
Right.
They want to make sure...
Yeah.
Well, someone's got to applaud it. Thank you, Mike. They want to make sure the show gets back on top.
Uh-huh.
And I mean in the overall ratings, of which I have pontificated on countless occasions.
Right.
Boy, do I feel another blast coming up.
Oh, dear.
So... The ratings are out. You've heard us talk about it. We were number 15.
Right.
Now we're back up to number 4 and number 1 in all our demos. But the station we got to worry about is the news station.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. The news station.
Oh, they, and they've been a little troublesome.
This is totally totally inside. Totally, I want to say something on the radio. A guy who Mike and I have goofed on for a while, but not really goofed, Albie VD.
Yeah, Albie lost his gig.
Yeah, he got canned over at the Top 40 station across the street. And Albie VD, if you ever want to come on the air and lambaste your former employers, although it's not necessarily a move that I would say is in your best interest. I certainly have done it, and things worked out okay for me.
We did that. We've done that with other disc jockeys before.
Yeah.
If they want to come in here and
nice,
you know, on their way to their next gig, if they want to do that, he wants. And it sounds like maybe he was a little manipulated over there, which is you know, something maybe he needs to talk about.
Guy's been at it playing records as long as Mike and I have been talking. So anyway, Albie VD, if you're out there, sorry you got S-canned.
Good guy, really
and,
nice guy,
and give us a call.
Yeah.
Give us a call.
I hope you get another gig quick.
Me too. And I think he's had a problem showering as well.
Well, he, the only thing I know about Albie is that he would wear those tank tops with the, you know, the really long armhole cutouts where it goes like down to his belt line, and you just see his big old gut there. And we used to make fun of that all the time. But you know what?
And he with us.
You know why we made fun of him? Because he was something, he brought something.
Good
I
God.
Mean, he was fun to make fun of because he was somebody who actually had a personality. And I hate to see the guys like that not get a gig.
And back in the day, back in the bad old days, I had some real good nights with Albie VD and Mike Beach.
Yeah.
And Randy Lane.
Sure. Randy Lane, there's a name I forgot.
Oh, I haven't.
Wow.
He introduced me to mushrooms. I'm sure he loves that getting out.
Yeah, what
the hell? He's a consultant now.
I'm sure it's all behind him.
Aren't they all? Anyway, so here's the point of this.
Yeah.
Our ratings had sucked. They're doing much better now. We need you guys to listen harder so that we don't get screwed like Albie D did, a DJ who's been in town for a long time. And, well, frankly, the only station that we really see as a threat is the news station.
Yeah, I mean, for some reason, with all the you know, goings on, people have made this station number one.
You know, I mean, I can deal with the fact this is Chocolate City, Washington, D.C. The hip-hop station will be number one.
Yeah.
You know, we've beaten the hip-hop station before in the overall rating.
They've beaten us, and it never really bothers us.
You know, and then you've got the other hip-hop station. You know, this is a very, very urban market.
Yeah.
But this news station has risen like a phoenix.
Yeah,
and
sucky news station.
And the guy who is...
And they really are a sucky station.
The guy who is the program director is the guy who is a relentless self-promoter within the radio industry.
Right.
Is a guy that we've decided to take on in a little... And you're going to like today's episode. It's briefer than the previous episodes. And it gets right to the point that this news station is the enemy. And it's a radio soap opera. And goddamn, who doesn't love it? So, Buzz, you got your copy?
I'm ready.
Rob, you got yours? Hold on, one more. There you go. Gotcha.
Very good. I'm ready.
And without further ado, you, Buzz Girdley.
It's time to meet the Fartleys. As we look into the glass-enclosed nerve center that is Jim Fartley's office, we find our hero busily trying to figure out something that's never easy for him. How to do his job. It's not that his job is all that difficult, it's just that he's a moron.
Well, let's see. I just can't seem to figure out how to do this radio job. Just when I think I'm getting a good idea, I get distracted by the shiny battle of the many meaningless awards that I have in my office. The funny thing is, I didn't earn a single one of them. Let's see. I gotta think. Think, think, think. Hey, look, there's a pencil. Ooh, yellow. Now, where was I? Oh, my God, this itching is killing me. Will it ever stop? Oh, well, that helped a little. Oh, yes, back to my job. Well, if I'm ever going to figure out this problem, I'm going to need some help. Oh, Bonnie!
Just then, Fartley's secretary, Bonnie Ville, comes into his office.
Pardon me?
Hold on.
You called Mr. Fartley. I'm in here now.
Yes, Bonnie. Please call newsreader Ira Belbin into my office. I need to discuss some ideas with him, and if they work, I'll take all the credit.
As always.
So please bring me Ira Belbin and some more grape Kool-Aid. I just heard on the radio that it's hot today, and therefore I am parched.
Mr. Fartley, I'm not sure that Ira will be able to come in right now.
Oh.
I just saw him in the break room fighting with Sean Hall over an entire side of beef.
Oh, no.
They asked not to be disturbed.
Well, try to trick him into coming to my office the way we always do.
Yes, sir, right away.
After a brief delay, Ira Melman, the morbidly obese, bearded newsreader, struggled to fit through the office door and sat in the two office chairs in Fartley's office.
I'm Ivor Balvin. News Radio. WTOP. Mr. Fartley. Mr. Melvin. Thanks for coming in. And sorry about the trick we had to use.
It's okay, Jim. I always fall for the old trail of... You know, I'm actually trying to think how Ira Melman sounds.
It sounds like this.
Yeah. Does he really?
It sounds like this.
I might feel more comfortable. He's Jewish, right?
Probably.
I like Bruce Springsteen.
Yes.
What do you think, Colin?
I'll say yes.
Colin! The eighth wonder of the world!
Can we take it from the top with my roll, please?
Sure.
Okay. Buzz, right? We take it from after a brief delay.
All right. Ira Melman, the morbidly obese bearded newsreader, struggled to fit through the office door and sat in the two office chairs. You know, I hate to do this. I do a legitimate impression of Ira. I mean, a real one. Not a character voice like Fartley. I'd rather have you do Fartley and I do Melman.
Well, I can't do Fartley.
Oh, that's right. You can't do Fartley.
You could.
I'd be doing a disservice to all the great work that Mike has put in as Jim Fartley.
For future, let me do Ira Melman for future shows. That's what I'd like to do. For future escapades.
Well, why don't you let's hear some of your Ira Melman right now. I mean, not off the
script. Ira Melman, News Radio WTOP.
So it's kind of a Jim Elliott thing.
Hi, it's exactly what it is.
Because I don't listen to the news station.
Yes.
And you do, right?
Yes, and you can do Jim Elliott.
Hi, it's Jim Elliott.
There you go.
Hi.
All right,
it's Ira Melman.
That's it.
I am Ira Melman.
planning all this out.
Bob's good. I like it.
Bob's taking it from the top. So that's my motivation.
That's Jim Elliot. You're done. That's all you need to think.
That's why you're King of the Apes.
It's good. It's perfect.
Aper.
I love it. I listen to the guy so much. I love it. All right.
After a brief delay, Ira Melman, the morbidly obese bearded newsreader, struggled to fit through the office door and sat in the two office chairs in Hartley's office.
I'm Ira Melman, Blue Radio WTOP. Mr. Hartley.
Mr. Melman. Thanks for coming in, and sorry about the trick we had to use.
It's okay, Jim. I always fall for the old... Hey, it's Jim Elliot. I always fall.
I remember.
I always fall. Jim Elliot. The Honda bike. I always fall. Not today. Not today.
What?
Not
what are
today.
You doing?
I'm just canceling this episode. I'm just canceling this episode.
Come on.
I had no idea when we were writing this that I was going to have to actually think about the guy's voice. And Mike, I really got to like, hi, this is Jim Elliot.
A fatter Jim Elliot.
It's okay, Jim.
You can't. I tell you, physically, it's very difficult to constrict your air canal.
Yeah. I always fall for the old... See, I can't do it like you can. Hey, it's Jim Elliot. And let's forget that.
Yeah, there it is.
Forget that.
There it is.
I always fall for the old trail of mayonnaise in the hall trick. By the time I finished eating all that Hellman's, I found myself at your office.
Well, Ira, I've just got to come up with some good ways to keep this rusty old vessel afloat. The good ship WTOP has been taking on water for months, and I fear the dotted bike submarine is in our midst.
Submarine. I'm sorry.
What are you doing?
Hi, Jim Elliot. submarine. See? I can't go. I'm sorry. Mike, unprecedented. I'm walking off Broadway. Ladies and gentlemen, my stand-in will have to do the role for the rest of the run. I'm afraid we'll reorganize.
Harry Martin.
And
you kill
come us. Back.
The role of Ira Melman will be played today by...
Yes. Matthew Broderick will be taking my place. Listen, let me just figure out the voice
right.
quick, and we'll,
right.
we'll come back to this tomorrow.
All right, very good. Right,
because I just...
Joan Crawford.
Hey, it's Jim Elliot. Hi, Jim Elliot.
There it is.
How come I can do it? For... See, I can't keep it going, though. I can only do
you
the...
You can read that line right there perfectly as in the Jim Elliot voice.
Which one?
The submarine one. Submarine one.
There you go.
Submarines?
You're wooing him back to the board.
Submarine. Submarine sandwich.
Yes, there it is.
Ira, you need to focus.
Jim, you need to calm down.
What's the big deal? Don't you get it? If we don't do something soon, people will figure out our deepest, darkest secret.
You mean the thousands of candy bars I have hidden?
I'm not laughing at you.
You're not.
He's laughing because you nailed it.
No.
No, come on, Mike.
Come on, Don.
Jesus. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi. I'm just wanted to update on LBD.
LBVD. Oh, you're right. The DJ. Yes, sir. What about it?
Yeah, I was listening to WPDC. He's doing weekends there.
Good. I know he picked up somewhere on the weekend.
Well, I'm glad he got a gig at, and that's one of our sister stations. But if he wants to come on.
Do it. Come on. Hang on, baby. Albie, and wear one of your tank tops if you come on our show.
Hey, it's Ira Melvin. I'm Ira Melvin. You know, I think I just need to practice, Mike.
Yeah. That's all you need to do. You do, Elliot. It's the same thing, only fatter.
Hey,
that's
Jim
what Rob said.
Yeah. Hi, Jim Elliot. Yeah. Boy, I guess I got to start listening to this thing. I cannot keep it going. Sorry.
You can't do it?
Sorry, can't do it, Mike.
All right.
Maybe you can do double duty tomorrow.
Okay.
Maybe I just won't come in for 10 minutes tomorrow.
All right, that's fine. Whatever you want me to do. But I'd like you, Jim Elliot, and I think if you did it as Jim Elliot...
I'm a grade A button pusher.
You found the you found your motivation with the Jim Elliot, though. Right. That's it.
Hi, well, thanks to you. Hey, Jim Elliot. Hey, it's Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot this morning.
I know you've heard the Melmans when they used to do their talk show.
Yeah, I know. And
the Don and Mike show.
And the Jim Elliot thing is actually pretty easy. It's almost... WAVA.
Yep.
Jim Elliott for Dotted By. Hey, let's take a call right now. Hey, Jim Elliott. Hey, hi.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, good morning, Gladys.
I love it when you're on the show and Don and Mike aren't there. I really love it.
All right. Sounds like that. Jim Elliott. Beat that in the garbage. Have it by candy. I'll do my Nutrisystem commercial. Jim Elliott.
We love you, Jim.
How you doing, Barbara Zerfast? Get no rest. That's something I just said that is funny to nobody except me and Mike and Jim Elliott and probably not to Barbara Zerfast.
Oh, probably not at all.
Probably not to her.
Wow, memories.
Oh, those
sweet
slacks.
Memories.
How you doing, Brent?
Hey, star of the week.
Oh, DJ of the week.
DJ of the week. I thought it was star of the week.
You know what they did at your desk? I heard them talking on the radio. Rob, where's my $60,000 automobile?
I'm wondering if you can help me find my $60,000 automobile.
All right, now listen. See, here you go. I just figured it out.
Yeah.
I don't have to be the star player in this thing. I enjoy being a behind-the-scenes guy. I should be the secretary.
You can be Bonnie
Bell. And you should be Ira Melman, because you do that.
I.
Yeah.
Cover your deal.
He can do it a lot better than me.
He's probably...
And I'm fat.
I'm not going to say that.
See, I don't have to play fat. I can give you skinny, but it takes some weight.
The honors of a Kong!
Kong is closer to Ira.
I beat you all
through.
Did you
ever hear of Kong?
I am.
Probably taller than Ira, though, right?
I don't know. I've never met him.
See,
I am.
You sound like you have a jelly donut in your mouth.
I do.
You're trouble.
I don't know whether to pull it out or swallow it down.
Hi, my Ira Melvin. WTOP.
Now, see,
dying.
You started doing it, and now you're doing the Ira.
Well, there's
Melvin.
No way I'd be able to keep it up. I would need some Ira Melvin Viagra.
WTRP Blues Town.
A little help over here.
Yeah, there used to be a show. Rob hit me to the show back when the... See, WTRP, the news station, the highly bogus, overrated news station.
And incidentally, I wouldn't be disappointed if you said it that way every time. The what is it? The highly bogus,
overrated station. Mm-hmm. That incidentally plays more commercials than we do. Mm-hmm. They play more commercials than we do.
They're clever.
The difference is they talk for 30 seconds and they play a commercial.
Yeah.
Then they talk for 30 seconds and they play a commercial. And they
do
talk,
not be fooled.
And they talk for 2 minutes and they play a commercial.
Right.
I mean, we don't lie to you. We play 18 minutes of commercials an hour. That's what the whores at CBS sell.
Mm-hmm.
T.O.P.? 21 minutes an hour.
Hey, hey, see?
21. And that's not counting all the brought to you by crap.
Oh, right. Sponsorships and everything that they do.
So anyway, this the station, what they do is they hire these retreads who get fired from other stations. One of these retreads was this guy that worked at Oldies 100.
Yeah, the Oldies.
Rob and I used to goof on this guy all the time. Did the news in the morning. I remember the Oldies 100. I've got no sense of humor at all. And the man got his penis severed. Back to you, Murphy and Cash. You know, hey, it's crazy, Oldies 100. Anyway, one night Rob said to me, Frieda and I were coming back late from the beach,
mm-hmm.
and Rob called up and said, are you within listening distance of Oldies 100? I said, yes, we are, about an hour outside D.C. He said, you've got to turn it on. I had news guy, Ira Melman, he's like doing a show with his wife.
Really?
Where they play records and they bicker like in between the records.
Oh, my God.
He said, she said that.
Right, so it would be...
I wonder if his wife is a woman of larger character.
They would come on and it would be like, Oldies 100, it's the Melmans. That's what they called it.
The Melmans?
The Melmans. That was Tom Jones. She's a lady. You like Tom Jones, don't you? And then she'd go like...
I don't like Tom Jones.
I understand. He used to stuff a sock down there.
Oh, Ira.
Oh, I didn't even know
you
that.
You can call us. We're the Melmans.
Well, it was on for a long time, obviously.
Yeah, 2 hours, but it seemed a lot more.
Because they would only let them talk, like, for 45 seconds
right,
on a crack.
Right,
because it was, you know, after all, an oldie station.
At a crack.
So a lot
big,
of it would,
a big crack.
A lot of it would be like, Oldies 100, I'm Ira Melman. I'm here with my wife.
Hi.
You made some dynamite pie last night.
Caller number 15 gets a free wiping wand.
And now he's going to WTOP News Time.
Please, Christ.
There I am.
You know what you guys, all of you people are? You are Ann Curry without the makeup.
Bingo!
All of you people over there, WTOP News Radio.
The Glass Enclosed Crack Center.
I tell you, 1010 wins, you know what they do? They laugh at you.
Oh, yeah.
They laugh at you.
Right, please don't. How much do you suck?
Hold on, this bulletin just in.
Something from Ira Melman. Oh, my. I couldn't agree more. It's best when it's live.
Some a-hole keeps calling.
You better believe that he's done that a few times in the studio.
Hey, hi. Yeah. All right, well, I'm sorry that I effed up meet the Farleys today, but Fartleys, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
We'll bring it back tomorrow.
Very good.
We'll refine it.
Right. Retool it.
Got a break. We'll
Number
back.
4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
What do you think of my spread, huh? Can you believe it? They used to test H-bombs on this beautiful piece of property.
Eddie, don't you worry about radiation.
All I know, Clark, is that my teeth have never been whiter and my garden is spitting out 50-pound tomatoes.
Yeah.
Right.
I ain't seen a beating like that since somebody stuck a banana in my pants and turned a monkey loose.
Thanks for the pick-me-up, Eddie.
Beyond AM, beyond FM, there's BM with Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right. Well, let's try to see what's happening in the world of JPS.
Alrighty.
My brother is tied for the Wheel of People, where we will either call my brother or we will not call my brother.
So you can reach Jimmy.
There's an actual list of people.
Right.
Dick Van Patten.
Right.
Lisa Remedy.
Al Molinaro.
Some old radio people we have worked with. Their names could come up on the list at any time.
TK Tom Kent.
But B.A. McBride.
Yes.
But for today, the wheel has stopped with my brother, who's not made an appearance on the show in what seems like months. Yeah.
Months and months and months.
About Let me time. See if I can get him up.
Look forward to chatting with him.
I'll give you a quick update on what's happening with him. No guarantee he's going to be there.
Right. Is he at home or in the general area? I mean, he's not anywhere he shouldn't be.
Hello?
Hey, dude.
It's time for the world according to Jim.
Hello, Jim.
Hey.
Hi, Jim. How the freak are you?
Hopefully, I'm done with work.
You're done with work?
Hopefully. I'm driving back to the shop right now.
Are you driving a cement truck still?
Yes, sir.
Still doing. Hey, you've had that job for a long time.
I've been at this company about a year and a half.
So let's do without getting into all these specifics. How are you doing? I mentioned that we have, you and I have fallen out of touch and, concerned about your health, blah, blah, blah. You won't go to a doctor, blah, blah, blah. You're going to live your life, blah, blah, blah. So blah, blah, blah. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah.
Just riding my hog.
You're feeling good?
Yes. Oh, I have trouble breathing, but other than that, I'm good.
Yeah, overrated.
This is where...
Are you still smoking?
Really, we shouldn't take this segment and ask him about his health.
Okay, all right, okay.
We really should not.
No, just whatever. Life in general. I'll follow your lead. Absolutely.
I might do the same thing in your end.
Gotcha.
You'd end up feeling just like I do.
Very good.
You know.
Very good.
Screaming at the boy, and he's not a boy. How old are you now? What are you, 45?
45.
There you go. Do you have any new toys?
Yeah, my hog.
You got the Harley?
You got a Harley.
Yeah.
Got the Harley.
Oh, fantastic.
Electric Light Classic.
Oh, wow. My God. Good for you.
Yeah.
I love those things.
Only 56 more payments.
Good for you.
Isn't that my brother? Isn't that really totally my brother? I mean, really.
He belongs on a Harley, Don.
When you look up white trash in the dictionary.
There's the horn. Were you doing that for because you had to or for our entertainment, Jimmy?
No, one of our drivers is leaving, so I just honked at him.
Saying goodbye.
Remember when he was broke, busted, life had dealt him an unfair hand.
Yes.
Needed an automobile.
slipped him some dough,
right?
Went out, bought a Jaguar.
A Jaguar.
That's right.
Yeah, Jaguar.
The right way, Rob.
Jaguar.
A Jaguar.
A Jaguar.
Say it like the British say it.
Hey, how is your Jag doing?
It's still parked in a backyard.
Oh, boy. Is it on blocks?
No, not on blocks. The tires are still aired up.
My brother's house is like Fred Sanford's house.
That's so funny. That's so funny.
No, not that bad. It's got a cover over it and stuff. I'm going to eBay it pretty soon.
So what's funny about him is that, you know, you walk into his place and really... It's like walking. You expect, you know, Lamont to be there and Brady to be there. Meanwhile, outside, here's this brand new, well, not, it's not brand new, but shiny, fancy motorcycle. Right?
Ah, and now, is that what you, now, do you, you don't, you obviously take the cement trucks, like, from a certain location. So do you get to take your Harley to work all the time?
Yeah, I take it to work all the time.
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic.
Do you wear a helmet, Roethlisberger?
No.
The only time
I wore a helmet is when we're coming back from Green Bay and it was cold and raining.
Right. So there's no helmet law in Wisconsin?
No helmet law in Wisconsin.
Man, I just came back from Maine yesterday. They don't have any helmet laws. Nobody wearing a helmet up there.
Why should you wear a helmet, right, Jimmy?
Right.
Why go to the doctor, right?
Right.
Right. Okay. That's my fault.
I'm going to die. I'm going to die.
He's in fog heaven.
Stop it. I don't want to...
How's your pond, Jimmy? Didn't you work on your pond?
Your backyard pond.
Oh, it's great.
Now, do you have any, do you have those remote control boats still?
Yeah, I still got those, too.
And most importantly, are you staying out of trouble?
Yeah, I'm staying out of trouble. I got
to.
You
have to.
Yes.
How about that NASCAR yesterday, pal?
I didn't watch the whole thing. When they warned Gordon to get his speed up, I turned it off.
Mm. Hey, are we going to do the current events quiz?
Yes, we are.
I got one for him right now.
All right, go ahead, Mike.
I got to get going.
Oh, you got right. Jimmy, really quick.
Real fast, Jimmy.
Israel is firing rockets. I mean, not firing.
He will not get this in a million years.
Israel is at war with a terrorist group inside what country?
Say that again?
Israel.
I was just doing hand signals with my boss.
Israel is now fighting a terrorist group inside what country?
Afghanistan?
No.
Afghanistan.
Well, that is incorrect. It's Lebanon, Jimmy.
Right. Lebanon, that's right.
All right, Jimmy, what is... I got two for you. Okay? First, because I love you. You're my brother. What is the name of Will Ferrell's character in his brand new movie?
Bobby Ricky.
He got it. Technically, it was mixed up, but it was Ricky Bobby.
You got
Ricky Bobby.
Who is the famous conspiracy theory director who is directing a movie about the World Trade Center?
I don't know. Michael Moore.
Or what famous actor hates Jews?
What's his face? Mel Gibson.
Really quickly, Regis's new show, Jimmy.
Hey, what am I, two for one now?
What's Regis's new show?
Oh, yeah, what's the name of Regis's brand new TV show?
I have no idea.
That is absolutely correct.
That's it?
No, I'm kidding. It's America's Got Talent.
Oh.
Are the Detroit Tigers in first place or last place?
Last place.
No, that is incorrect.
Hmm.
Oh, they're in first place?
Yeah, they're in first place.
Wow.
I saw the Cubs
won. That's Cubs new.
Your thoughts, Jimmy, on Pirates of the Caribbean?
I haven't seen it.
And how long before deer season?
About 2 months.
2 months. Very good.
2 months.
Yeah, a month and a half.
The last animal that you went out and killed with a weapon? Jimmy.
Squirrel.
You'd be happy with me. I killed a bunch of frogs that were just pissing me off in my pool.
Just mass murder.
I thought of you.
And what's for supper, Jimmy?
We're having hamburgers.
Hamburgers.
Yeah. All right. Hamburger medium rare.
Store bought or homemade?
Homemade.
Oh, very good.
Nice. Well, there he is, everybody. He in fact, is alive of this moment.
Yay.
Good. I love you. Take care of yourself, you big doofus.
All right. See you again when I got more time.
Jimmy, as always, I like to ask you, I have a parting word of wisdom for our listeners who over the years have grown to look at you as some sort of biblical figure.
What was that?
Do you have anything you'd like to say as a sign-off to our listeners.
Oh, okay. Loud pipes save lives.
Loud pipes save lives, and I agree with that. I like that one.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Live from Wisconsin.
Keep the rubber on the road, Jimmy.
I will.
All right. Good morning.
All right, I love you. I'll see you later.
Okay, bye.
All right,
bye-bye.
There he goes.
Bye-bye.
Good to hear from him. Driving his cement truck back to the shop where he's got to get his motorcycle and take it home.
Yeah.
Wow. He sounds good.
Very happy. Upbeat.
He does.
Well, you're lucky you didn't hear any coughing.
Yeah, that's good. Good. Well, I'm glad he's doing all right. I mean, well, he, you know. Yeah.
Good spirits. He's in good spirits.
Sure he is.
Let's say
DW.
That.
That's what I call him, D.W. Source.
Mm-hmm. D.W.
Death Wish Source.
Yeah.
Because his resemblance to Charles Bronson?
That's right,
yes.
Rob.
That's right.
I'm
mustache
now.
It's very hard. You know, I love him very much.
Right.
And he's a grown man. As you heard him say, he's 45 goddamn years old.
Right.
You know. Well, it's too much. It's too much to get into.
Right.
It is. His physical condition and what's happening to him and the fact that he just flat out refuses. He went to see a doctor who said to him, in essence, oh, my God, get your ass in the hospital today.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, I'll meet you downstairs. Then he went in his car and he drove away.
And he split. And he's, you know, yeah, it's tough. It's tough. Yeah.
Anyway, that's the latest with Jimmy. I hope we got him around for a long, long time.
Right? I do, too. Mm-hmm. I do, too.
Right. Buzz.
Yes.
I understand that you have a story about you being in security at Dulles Airport.
Oh, yeah.
We have not gotten to that story. We've been back from holiday for 5 weeks.
Right. Yes, I technically told a story about being in security before he did.
You did.
And that was just this past weekend.
Right. Do you still remember that story?
I do.
Good. Good. We will not ask you about it when we come right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
And come on.
I'm on.
Come on, baby.
Live.
Negative.
You're telling me that you'll be true.
No.
Live.
Negative. That's a lie that I picked that song.
The Knickerbockers.
I would be a Spiewak favorite.
Not necessarily a favorite.
Hold on, for goodness sakes. I wanted something that rocked, man.
That's right. You're going to rock the house.
Something that rocks, dude.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. Get the let out.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Victims of laxative abuse. Don Geronimo and Michael Miller.
Oh.
Local boy. He's just terrific.
He's our
new leader. He's like too much.
He's
like too much what? He's one of the truly great swingers of all time.
It's time for news with Buzz. Buzz brought to you tonight at Westwood One by Ford. Bold moves. Let me see very quickly. Tomorrow on the show, I'll be getting a tattoo on the air. Excitement.
Yeah.
I have a very low threshold for pain.
You say you're doing it tomorrow?
First break.
Fantastic.
For the anniversary with Freedom, right on my wrist. And let me see. Also, for you tomorrow, Mike, I have something called The 5 Stages of Drunkenness.
Okay, very good.
And Michael's also just asked me if I'm going to watch the Gene Simmons show tonight.
Oh, yeah.
The answer, a resounding no.
No, you're a big Kiss fan. What's up?
I see the Osbournes.
Right.
I don't need to see another rock family.
I am not a Kiss fan, and I'm not a fan of Gene Simmons, but I find him an oddity. I will be watching it like a car wreck.
His pants may fall to the floor.
And also, I just think he is such an egomaniac, and he's so fun to watch. You know, we've laughed at Gene Simmons, and that's kind of why I like to watch him, because he's just one of these guys that doesn't care.
Two DC notes. First, just all the hype about the Redskins getting 47,000 fans to show up for a scrimmage here in D.C. over the weekend, I believe is fantastic. You know, the stadium in Green Bay was full this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where the Redskins jip you.
Okay.
It's free.
Yes.
It's open to the public.
Free.
It costs $25 to park.
Fair.
Let's say that 4 people. Here you go, Kong.
Kong, the eighth wonder of the world.
47,000 people. Let's say that there were 4 people to a car.
Generous. That's true.
How many cars and how much money do you think Dan Snyder made on this free fan event?
That's roughly
just from parking, not from concessions or anything else.
11,600 people, or cars rather. Mm-hmm. Quarter that.
Give
me a sec. That's a tough one to do.
Did you ever hear of Kong?
Carry the 12.
Oh, Buzz, you're just being foolish.
Buzz, we all know the old family record.
Oh, and also, speaking of D.C., while Rob does the math,
yes.
Guess who sent an email during the break?
Al BVD?
No.
No?
Hi. Jim Elliott. Jim Elliott sent an email.
I got it at roughly $290,000 for parts.
There you go.
Thank you.
That's a nice third of a million, though.
So anyway.
And that's extremely conservative right there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So Jim Elliott sent an email.
Plus the concessions.
And it said, what did it say?
He said, while you're busy arguing about how I sound, you might as well someday give me a call and hear the real voice.
Hey, good for Jim. All right.
Seriously, book him, Gong. I would love to have Jim Elliott on the show.
Jim Elliott. Hey, how are you, boy?
Hi.
Jim's a good guy. We fought with him. Goddamn, we fought tooth and nail with him.
We consider Jim to be a broadcast friend and always will.
A legend. Cool. Really, when I was growing up, a guy that I looked up to, I would listen to on the Great 98,
right.
WRC.
Mm-hmm.
And really, when I went through all my crap being arrested 8 years ago, now last time I got popped with weed, Jim Elliott was one of the people that I did not expect.
Mm-hmm.
To reach out to me. Because he'd been through, you know.
The team fought his own demons. He was very open about that and really, really, you know, was helpful to everybody around us. It was great.
Let's get Jim Elliott on the show. Yeah. If nothing else, we could talk about the good old days at WAVA.
Find out what he's doing now.
Shall we get him to play Ira Melvin?
Oh, and tomorrow, we didn't have time for this today. There's a website devoted to people who hate our show.
Okay.
And it's not Rupert's site. It is not the fan site.
Huh.
It's a news group. And tomorrow we're going to play a funny game called New or Old.
Oh.
Because what you have is a group of, as far as I can tell when I looked at this thing over the weekend, maybe 15 guys who for over the last 10 years... Mm-hmm. have been writing every day that they don't listen,
right,
mm-hmm. and that we suck,
okay,
and why we suck.
Very good.
The latest round of offerings is, you know, what's wrong with the reverb, resting on their laurels,
right.
L-A-W-R-E-L-S.
Well, we've been resting on our laurels for 15 years.
Very comfortable. This is a part of the internet we've never gotten to. And this is where, like, they post creepy stuff, like, about my kid, who's now 21.
This is the dark corner of the internet.
Mm-hmm. One of the things is, hold on a second. Let me just give you a
sample, a treat, a preview.
A sample, because these cats have never been identified on the air before.
Okay.
And they're not even worth fighting. But it's obvious they're obsessed with us and obsessed with the show.
Oh, my God, if they've got a whole chat group based on their hatred.
Yeah, and...
Powerful stuff.
Play a game tomorrow where you'll have to guess, is this from 10 years ago?
Right.
Or is this a complaint from modern day?
Very good.
It's like the Price is Right game, now or then.
Yep, now or then. Now or then, Rob.
I'm
going to
get then, Bob.
Yes, of course, if I do that impression, I've been doing it for almost 20 years. I'm resting on my fat laurels.
Okay. Okay. Here's one from a guy who has written over the last... Oh, he's got over 400 posts in the last 3 years.
You know, that went from being, like, interesting to scary.
Mm-hmm. First...
It really didn't have to...
It's like an obsession, isn't it?
First sentence, I don't like the Don and Mike show anymore.
Huh?
I went back and looked at this guy's post from 2001.
Oh.
Wow. I don't like Don and Mike's show anymore.
He still doesn't like it anymore.
Here's another one. These guys are the worst.
I can't wait.
But what's great is that I found this thing where it says view profile, and you see how many times someone has written,
right?
And you can actually go back and see, like, 10 years ago.
You can get the post from 10 years ago?
Sure you can.
Beautiful.
For instance,
they've been hating for a long time.
Some guy named,
but again, so have we.
Some guy named Green 76321 just posted this last Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
The topic is Bart, and it's done. Let's check this guy's profile before I read you this.
Yeah,
let's see profile.
I'm done.
Let's see how many times he's posted.
Why must people hate?
I don't understand. You've tried to get him to stop.
I have.
You peacenik.
You profile.
I hate these guys.
Okay. Oh, boy, let me see. Here's what the guy has posted. Okay, here's his history, just in our news group.
3 days ago, he posted about Bart. 3 days ago, quick questions. 3 days ago, Don's chick. May 18th, flame me if you want, but the show sucks. March 18th, is Don dating already? March 18th, flame me if you want, but the show sucks. Mm-hmm. March 3rd, Don and Mike suck. December 11th, they just flew in from D.C., and boy, are their arms tired. November 24th, Don and Mike suck. Uh-huh. November 23rd, Don and Mike suck. Here's his latest offering. Okay?
Yeah.
Topic Bart. Now I can read this because my kid's 21.
Right.
Mm-hmm. As is often the case when they step out of the shower, my thoughts this morning turned to Bart. Young Bart. Young, nubile Bart. And I realize since I haven't been able to listen to the show in a long time, I have no idea what's going on to the lad. So tell me, folks, how's our favorite college boy? Do his grades still suck? Is he still embezzling money using his credit card? Ah, Bart.
Sounds like somebody that might listen to the show.
Yeah, I'm off to get my beach towel. I look forward to your responses.
That's normal.
Green.
You know what? You've really discovered quite the underbelly of the internet.
And then here's
a dark
corner. Here's some responses. Valley Rider writes, Green, my friend, you are missed. Spud Demon writes, the other day I heard a part of a conversation. These guys write this all the time. I heard a part of a conversation.
Pretending not to listen.
I heard a part of a conversation about buying an Xbox on the fatherly credit card. Whoops. Okay. Anyway, these guys, we'll play a game tomorrow called Now or Then.
Mm-hmm. I go between like being quietly amused to being a little bit disturbed.
Yeah,
that's just weird. Weird.
This one makes Rupert's site really look like a Disney site.
Really,
yeah, this is the worst. This is the worst. Although here we go, Bill Fright. What does Bill Fright have to say? Rewrites. What does Bill have to say? Hold on a second. Okay. F me, please. The show is so heavy in reverb. Okay, now I will quit listening. Well, he's only posted three more times since he wrote that.
Well, you know, we've maintained all the way along. It's fine if it's the show you love to hate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as you listen, that's all we care about.
We'll take that.
Nah, but these guys, hold on. And then they're like, did they crank up the reverb today? I'm stupid for the reverb, but what I think you'll love will be hearing the ones that are 10 years old.
Right.
From guys who have listened to the show who are posting back in 1996.
Did they write us off back then?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And okay. I think the fun game will be what's new and what's old.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Good, outing
these guys who really are mega fans of the show.
But they like to say they hate us.
Yeah.
Interesting.
They do. They're very brave guys.
Interesting and weird.
Very, very brave guys.
It's just weird. Weird that they're out there. You know? I mean, you and I are kind of the same way. You know, we leave here and whatever happened here, we leave here. And they don't. It's just strange. But that's the way it works.
So anyway, tomorrow, good news for those guys who can start pulling their pants down.
Well, you didn't mention the website, which is good.
Oh, no. It's just a news group.
Right.
That's
just
all.
A news group. Out there. Okay.
Just a news group. Right? It's the lowest of the low of the low.
The darkest corner.
Down there.
Now, Buzz.
Yes.
How come you haven't told us the story about the TSA?
I don't know. I just...
How come you haven't told us any news yet?
I got sidetracked.
Oh,
I got
hold on, Buzz. Subject.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Here's Don and Mike to talk for you.
And now, finally, with some news and comments, here's Guy Burley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
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 Well, let's get this said right up front. There is no shortage of gasoline. There's probably not going to be a shortage of gasoline, so there is no reason to panic. But the price of oil is...
I know you, Buzz. Which means you want everyone to panic.
Or do I? The price of oil is shooting up again thanks to a series of unfortunate events.
Remember, you can't spell panic without ick.
That's right.
BP, which
now you can't spell panic without attack. Thank you.
BP,
I'm here all week.
Which brings America 8% of its domestic supply from an oil field in Alaska, has shut down operations there to make some repairs.
BP, Bill Parcells.
Hey, baby.
The pipeline is corroded and leaking, just like Parcells.
Just like Bill.
The BP's already facing a criminal investigation over an oil spill last March in that same oil field. BP says it has no idea how long the operation there will be shut down. It apologizes for the inconvenience. this is not, and they realize this, not exactly the best time for this to happen.
Well, it makes me want to pray to that Buddha on your T-shirt.
Iran's top nuclear negotiator is threatening to use oil as a weapon. According to the negotiator, do not force us to do something that will make people shiver in the cold.
That's something Al B.D. does a lot.
Shivers in the cold?
No, he uses oil as a weapon.
I see. Presumably...
I'm just talking about squeezing up like a blackhead.
Presumably, this Iran guy is talking not about a nuclear winter, but
Al B.D., I kid because I love him. Yeah, please come in and sit in, do a couple of sets with us.
Good man.
Iran is talking about cutting off another significant chunk of our oil supply, making us shiver in the cold. That's Iran's reaction to pending UN sanctions against that country for not backing off its nuclear weapons program. The Energy Department says it's prepared to tap our reserve supply if BP or any refinery asks it to.
Ourselves.
All of these things, from the shutdown oil field in Alaska to the threat of a cold winter from Iran to the talk of reserves, makes investors nervous, and that jacks up the price of oil. There is no shortage. Just nervousness and higher prices.
You know, dangerously close I came this weekend. I had to get one of my cars serviced.
Right.
So I was at the dealership, and it's right across the street. It's one of these guys, a name where they own like eight different dealerships.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So there's another brand of car. I was taking a Cadillac in, and there are other cars that they have. Thank you, Rob, for buying American. Well, I looked at a Jap car.
That's right.
And I was in there, no offense to any Orientals.
Of course not.
Bill Parcells again. Mm-hmm. I'm really, seriously, this close away from saying to them, take the Escalade, and I'm going to buy the hybrid. I'm going to buy the hybrid. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
Because of the gas prices?
You mean the one that runs on, like, corn?
Because of gas and just because, you know, I'm driving this thing to get, like, 8 miles a gallon.
Right.
It's just me.
So you're thinking about buying a new one?
Something that you...
A new what?
Yeah.
Anything. I mean, a new hybrid.
Like a hybrid.
Yes.
Good for you.
Mike was going to get one.
Anyway, the problem is this.
Uh-huh.
Now, no one knows this except me.
Uh-huh.
I'm walking around this dealership, and really, I'm looking for a sales guy to say, I'm the sap you're looking for.
Right.
You hit me on the right day. Mm-hmm. I see the hybrid.
You're motivated.
That to me doesn't look like a clown car.
Right.
I can see myself in this. I can get the grandkids in this thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I've got the other one being serviced across the street. I've got the title.
Right.
I'm holding the title.
You're ready to go. In your mind, you were ready to go. They screwed it up, didn't they?
So what happened was, I stood there for a while, and finally I went to the desk and I said, is there someone who could help me?
Mm.
And she said, have a seat, please.
Oh.
And I sat there.
What?
And I sat there, and I waited, and the next thing I know, I see my car coming out of the service of the other place.
You know, and in this climate...
Yeah.
I mean, when all you hear every day on the business news is these dealerships are sucking wind.
So I tell the guy at the Cadillac place,
mm-hmm.
I say, boy, I tell you what, you're lucky. I was just across the street at your sister dealership, and I would have traded this car in a second. I couldn't get anybody to help me over there. And it was like I was giving this guy, like giving a rabid dog a steak, a dog that I hadn't eaten. This sales guy went... You don't want to go over there. You don't want to. You like. No, no. I want to tell you something. Have you seen the 07 Escalade? And I'm like, yes, saw it. No, thank you.
It's very thirsty.
No. You're telling me you are going to buy. You don't want to buy over there. Anyway, I ended up walking away from
Slipped
it.
Through their fingers.
All the salesmen were in the back pushing the hybrids.
Anyway, just walked away from it.
Wow.
But I might actually make the stab.
Good for you.
Good for you.
You'll never.
Someone needs to show an interest in your money first. Another true story. Woman gets diagnosed with a tumor on her kidney. She goes in for surgery. The doctor takes out the wrong kidney.
Bastard.
It happens, sure.
That's right.
Sure, it's going to happen, but it's happening more. A new study shows that of the 45 million major surgeries a year in this country, an increasing number involve doctors operating on the wrong side of the body.
Oh, no!
Hi, Charles.
Removing the wrong limb or organ.
Oh, what did I do?
Or operating on the wrong patient.
I'm an idiot.
It happened 84 times last year.
What a retard.
The Joint Commission on Healthcare Organizations recommends you take the following three steps. Number one.
Number one.
Mark the surgical site yourself with the doctor present.
You know what? I wouldn't do it. General principle. What they're paying these... Come on!
Avoid doing it yourself, recommend.
With a Sharpie?
Yeah.
On your body?
Some hospitals have you mark it yourself.
But only do it after the anesthesia's taken in.
They're saying, make sure the doctor's present so that you don't get confused and mark the wrong site.
I want the doctor to mark it the way an animal marks its territory.
Number two, have the doctor initial the yes site, put his initials on your body next to the site where he should operate, and have him not initial the X side that he's not supposed to operate
So you're using your body now like one of those things where they say initial here, and sign here.
John Madden with the telestrator has drawn up your body.
So you would look like the guy in operation.
And advice number three, throughout the process, from the time you find out you're going to have surgery until the time you start getting sleepy, they say keep double-checking, ask questions, and be persistent. So apparently it's on us to make sure the doctor doesn't remove the wrong thing.
Well, you know, that's not a bad piece of advice. I think we should, you know, it's just like a mechanic in a gas station. It really is.
Except it's your life.
Without a
salesman at a car dealership.
Without the circling and initialing, of course.
Good and bad.
Crooks are stupid and sometimes gay.
Did you make them up?
Prime example, after the break.
He did.
Ultra number four, Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. A daily 4-hour salute to all you filthy sea bags. Don and Mike.
And now once again, with the story of what happened to him at Dulles Airport.
Oh, yes, here it is.
Buzz J. Girdley.
Not today, Don. Sorry, no time.
No, really.
Finally, the thing about stereotypes, a few people keep doing a few things that support those stereotypes.
Stereotypes.
Take the armed robbery last week of a man in his home in South Wales. A guy with a lovely scarf over his face stole nearly $800 from the man and then ran away, all swishy-like. Security cameras caught the swishy escape on tape.
Swishy.
Well, now, there's only one homosexual in that village, so guess who they arrested?
Homosexuals are about.
That's right. They arrested Lance. 19-year-old Lance Williams. And
he's a fag.
The thing of it is, Lance confessed.
Homo.
He will now, ironically, spend 5 years in prison.
Lance Bass.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Of course, you know Lance Bass wants to go into space.
Yeah.
He wants to go to Uranus.
Bada bang.
I should have said that a week ago.
I know.
Might have been funny a week ago. Well, good day to you, sir.
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 Oh, and call.
The eighth wonder of the world.
I fare thee well.
See you tonight on PBS.
Number four, Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.